Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. Armit Thomason. Chinese President Xi says he and President Trump agree the China-U.S. relationship is the most important bilateral relationship in the world. Xi spoke at a state banquet in Beijing that followed a two-hour meeting with President Trump, who calls Xi a friend.
We had extremely positive and productive conversations and meetings today with the Chinese delegation earlier. And this evening is another cherished opportunity to discuss among friends some of the things that we discussed today.
America's top diplomat is among those in the U.S. delegation, and that's raising some eyebrows.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is joining President Trump in Beijing despite past Chinese sanctions barring his entry over human rights criticisms. China's temporarily lifted the ban for this visit. Meanwhile, a viral photo of Rubio aboard Air Force One in a Venezuela Nike outfit, seen as a nod to pressure on leader Nicolas Maduro, sparked online buzz, highlighting the broader geopolitical messaging behind the trip.
Correspondent Ken Lorman says it's thought that Rubio's presence reflects a wider U.S. strategy to challenge China across multiple fronts. Xi warns of the potential for conflict between the U.S. and China over Taiwan. The British military says it's investigating the seizure of a ship that had been anchored off the coast of the United Arab Emirates and is now heading toward Iranian territorial waters. At least five people killed, dozens wounded, a massive Russian drone and missile attack on Ukraine. An apartment complex in Kiev reduced to a pile of rubble. The third straight day that Moscow unleashed such a large-scale barrage comes after a brief ceasefire. Ahead of this morning's opening bell, the Dow futures up 415 points, NASDAQ futures ahead 62. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Progressive knows you think the grass is always greener, like maybe you ride a motorcycle. But today, it's raining. So you wish you had an RV, but if you did, you'd have to listen to some guy parked next to you at a campsite plays acoustic guitar. Now, before you start wishing you had a boat, remember, your brother-in-law would invite himself every weekend.
Permission to come aboard, Captain?
But one thing that is greener is the money you could save when you bundle your RV, boat, or motorcycle with your home or auto with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Vinny Steele. 20 residents of a Towson apartment building have been displaced after a Wednesday evening fire. Baltimore County firefighters were called to Versailles Circle shortly after 6 p.m. Wednesday, where they found heavy smoke and fire coming through the roof of an apartment. The fire went to two alarms, and it took around 100 firefighters to contain the blaze. No injuries were reported. The Red Cross is assisting the displaced residents, and the cause of the fire remains under investigation. A bill to permanently ban data centers in Harford County has been introduced in the county council, and residents will be able to express their opinions on it next month. The legislation from County Executive Bob Cassily comes after he sent a letter to the council last week, expressing concern about the impact data centers have had on communities across the country. They say they're not appropriate for Harford County. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hey, Sean Casey here with Vinny Steele, owner of Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Welcome back. Amazing. For nearly a full decade now on WCBM, you've been helping families plan their next big move by eliminating the typical risk home sellers face. So as we head into early summer, what's your best advice for sellers who want to get the most money but don't want to be bothered by the typical hassles?
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, 23 years helping thousands of families sell for their price and with certainty. Right now, inventory and days on market are increasing. That's why smart sellers are asking for more than just empty promises. Our sellers get an upfront written guarantee that if I can't sell your home, I'll step in and buy it at a price and time frame you agree to.
I like that. Check out Vinny's hundreds of five-star reviews online from satisfied customers, and I'll add mine as well. Vinny Steele is the only agent I would trust with my own home. Call or text Vinny right now, 410-709-7515, 410-709-7515, or visit VinnySteele.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again. And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into too tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall. Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating two of his three runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter. Byrne shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking two of three from New York. After the game, manager Albernaz on the Birds complete team win.
That's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and being diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in six of his eight seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM, 3 p.m., Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy, breezy, and much cooler today. We could see a couple of sprinkles with highs in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy tonight as temperatures fall back into the upper 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. Yep, that's right, it's Friday Eve. You're almost there. The weather will get better, as you heard from Sean Casey on Casey & Company. I was there cheering it on. I'm ready for it. I am ready for it. Look, I understand that we've got a little bit of spring here, and I know that some people probably enjoy all four seasons when it actually hits here in the state of Maryland, but I don't enjoy it. I want to go from winter to summer, okay? I've had enough of the chilly weather. I'm done. I'm over it. Anyways, hopefully you got some great plans already lined up for this weekend. If not, don't forget, if you miss any of the shows here on Kim Plasic Live, you can always go to WCBM.com to get caught up using the archive. See, if you don't have plans this weekend, just go ahead and tune in again to the shows that we had over the week in case you missed any. All right, so WCBM.com. Don't forget, we also have the app, and it's free in the App Store, WCBM 680. All right, we got lots to talk about. And also, remember, we got Tory Snow coming up at 10 o'clock. Tory Snow, he has his latest op-eds in the Baltimore Sun. This week, it's about Governor Wes Moore. So, believe it or not, Tory's going to be on at 10. And then I have nothing slated in the block afterwards because I know that we're going to get a ton of phone calls, okay? We're going to get lots of phone calls about his latest op-ed. It's a good one, as always, so we'll talk to Tory at 10. Also, two more peeping Toms have been caught, finally, in the Towson area as they were peeping in on young college students. This story, as you guys already know, this story really upsets me. okay? Because I felt like these girls were kind of just left out there to fend for themselves. And yes, I consider them girls. These are college students, for crying out loud. Well, anyways, there's been two more that have been caught. We were asking about this because we saw some of the Ring camera footage. And the one guy, he's looking right into the camera. I mean, you can't miss him. You can literally do the AI search that they have now. Just take a little screenshot and put it in AI. You can find him online. Easy peasy. That's why I said, what are we doing here? Are they just not looking for them? I mean, my kid could do it. Anyways, two more people have been caught. And believe it or not, one of the Peeping Toms is, in fact, that guy that I talked about that was, like, clearly on the Ring camera. So we'll talk about that, of course. Ed Hale Sr., you know, we were talking to Doug Larcombe here in studio yesterday for an hour. Ed Sr. did pick up another endorsement, so we'll get to that. Also, Mayor Brandon Scott, he wants oversight over the oversight. That's going to be the lead story this morning. He wants oversight over the Inspector General. You know, she's been doing this job for 8 years. No complaints. The investigations that she's had, the results were always positive, right? She found the waste, the fraud, or the abuse. And, you know, charges went out in some cases. This has always been, you know, an office that people could be proud of in Baltimore City. But now that the Inspector General is investigating the mayor's office of neighborhood safety engagement, now the mayor says that this office is biased and that they need oversight because he believes that she's being very unfair to him. For the last 8 years, she was fine. Now that she's investigating his office, unfair. So we'll talk about that. Also, I was listening to an interview that he did recently because he won't come on my show. I don't know why that is. Brian, the producer, why won't the mayor come on my show? He's a very busy man. Yes. Do you think he might be afraid of some of the questions I might ask? Well, I want him to come on because I listened to this interview. And remember, he had a back and forth with the Inspector General because Isabel Cummings, she said she made a mistake. And she shared a YouTube video by a black guy, a black podcaster, that was calling out Mr. Mayor, Mayor Brandon Scott, for, I guess, you know, living high on the hog, like one of those politicians that's got a lot going on, right? And so this black podcaster was just kind of detailing some of the money that was spent by Mayor Brandon Scott. And he can't dispute this because he has been spending a lot of money at the Ravens games, at the Orioles games. He bought an SUV that is like double the price of the governor's and it's got all the bells and whistles. I mean, he's been spending a lot of money, okay? Well, anyways, you know, that black podcaster put the video out there. The Inspector General Isabel Cummings, she shared the video. And all of a sudden, you know, you had the mayor, the Senate president, you know, all these people, the elected officials, they were saying that video was racist. And it was racist for the Inspector General to share it. Well, guess what? On this interview I was listening to, he was asked about how this was racist. Because the interviewers, you know, asked him point blank, like, how is this video from a black guy that does this with many elected officials, how was that racist? The mayor says, well, that black guy clearly is a self-hating black man. We're going to get into that comment, because that comment I've heard many times over the years, because that is what black Democrats, mostly elected officials or those in the media, that's what they say about people like me, yours truly. That if we have a difference of opinion, if we are conservative, if we are Republicans, and we don't agree with the corruption and we call it out, we must be self-hating. Not that we want to assist, you know, whether it's people living below the poverty line that are being exploited by some of these politicians, whether or not, you know, it's the corruption, airing the dirty laundry, as they say. We're self-hating black people when we do that. You see, this is the mind games that they play. But we're going to get into that. Also, in case you missed it, Governor Wes Moore's campaign manager is out the door. Supposedly on Friday is his last day. It was a rumor that was circulating online yesterday. And then Governor Moore's spokesperson for his campaign, Carter Elliott, did in fact confirm that the campaign manager is out the door. That is so quick, though. I mean, he just launched this bad boy, right? His reelection bid was launched just last week. I mean, what's going on, Governor Moore? Why would your campaign manager be out the door? I don't know. We're going to talk about it. Also, you know, we talked about it briefly, but not really. But the white guys on Baltimore City Council, they're very upset. I don't know if you guys saw this. They're very upset that 72% of Baltimoreans voted for term limits for Baltimore County Council members. And yes, these white guys, the predominantly black Baltimore City Council, they are not happy with how the predominantly black city voted. And they want to make sure that they overturn this. Now, this bill is not getting the light of day, but we're going to talk about this because Councilman Mark Fisher and Councilman Ryan Dorsey, they want to live like kings. And because these are the gentlemen that talk about President Trump and claim that he lives like a king, they don't want to be term limited. Okay? And I find this very interesting because, you know, over the years, and I haven't really gotten into it, but over the years, I've been watching the way that some of these council members move. And Councilman Ryan Dorsey in particular, if you recall, remember when he had to send back $42,000 to a donor? You remember that? Well, he sent it back, but it was from a drug treatment center that donated to him in 2020. And that drug treatment center wanted to open up more treatment centers across the city. And I talked about it a little bit at the time on social media because I thought it was interesting. Because these drug treatment centers, these rehab clinics, he never wants them around his home or in his neighborhood. And yet he says that it is, you know, there's nothing to say that it does anything to a neighborhood. But it, at the time, I noticed the neighborhoods where he wanted these drug treatment centers, they were in predominantly black communities that are considered the underserved communities. And I just, in the 11 o'clock hour, I just want to kind of point to some of the things that I've been seeing over the years, okay? And why I believe that these guys cannot even fathom the term limits. And these guys are also, in case you didn't know, they're with the what we call the bike mafia. Yeah, they're expanding more bike lanes across Baltimore City. Yeah, the bike lanes nobody used. Right, right. So we're going to talk about that at 11 o'clock hour. Just got a couple of notes that I want to get off my chest. All right, let's get right into this. Mayor Brandon Scott, he says, I want oversight over the oversight. And he thinks that this inspector general, well, she's biased. Now, they didn't think about this until she started investigating the mayor's office. But now that she's doing that, of course, she's got to be biased. Take a listen.
I'm here today to talk about oversight in Baltimore City government.
Claiming he's tried to have this talk with the city's inspector general, Isabel Cumming, directly for months now.
Unfortunately, they have not been willing to have that conversation. But Baltimore needs clarity.
Today, Mayor Brandon Scott unveiling a four-point plan he claims will strengthen oversight of the very office responsible for overseeing your tax dollars, ensuring City Hall spends them properly.
No one is above oversight.
Scott proposing sweeping changes at the local level, including stricter procedures for how Baltimore's IG requests records and raises concerns when denied access to them. The bill could also change how the IG's advisory board is selected and require the board to conduct quarterly performance reviews.
I think that that's something that has been missing.
From there, Scott pledging to push lawmakers in Annapolis to amend current MPIA laws to clarify IGs across the state can legally access records in full, as long as that change comes with a state oversight board. All of it coming as the legal battle over this pile of redacted records continues to play out in court. While Cumming says she can't complete her investigation into Monzi's sidestep program without them, the mayor now working to hire Baker Tilly, an outside consulting firm, to conduct its own investigation.
We need someone neutral to restore trust with residents and finally close the book on this investigation.
Although Scott acknowledging the same redactions will still apply.
We follow the law. If folks don't think we should follow the law and we should break the law for certain people, that's on them.
There is no need to bring in an outside firm. You have an inspector general. This is what their job is.
Calling the audit a waste of time and money. Taxpayer advocate David Williams arguing the mayor isn't improving oversight. He's adding roadblocks.
This is a delay tactic. This is a watered down proposal. And it just doesn't make any sense.
A delayed tactic. I agree. But hold up. This isn't going to delay the challenge currently in the court system. Don't forget, the Inspector General, she was green-lighted by the courts, saying that she could, in fact, go forward with her lawsuit against the city, the mayor's office specifically, as she's trying to get these documents. Now, I also want to note, in case you're just kind of, coming into the story here, the Inspector General, she usually, until this matter, she usually would be given documents to do her investigations, right? So whether or not those are financial transactions, because that's her job, right? To find waste, fraud, and abuse. So most of it is in regards to financial transactions. And so now that she's investigating the mayor's office, now the mayor's saying, you know what? According to state law, I can't hand these documents over. So we've been watching as there's all this redacted information, and Isabel Cumming, the Inspector General, she said, well, to do this investigation properly and to look at some of the financials and the money going in and out of the door, she's saying that I have to, in fact, get that information that has been redacted. And again, until now, she's been receiving that information without problems, okay? So Mayor Brandon Scott's administration is now utilizing a new interpretation of the Maryland Public Information Act, the MPIA, to restrict what information was shared with the OIG. The new interpretation, right? So now he's interpreting this law quite differently than he has in the past. Remember, the Inspector General has been doing this job for 8 years. The new interpretation stemmed from an advice letter from the Office of the Attorney General at the request of a state senator for a separate MPIA-related bill. Now, since Mayor Scott has looked at this letter to interpret things differently, the AG, excuse me, Anthony Brown, he has made a statement saying that he has not looked into this issue with Monzi and the mayor and the inspector general. And he said that he most likely would not advise the mayor to not give the documents over or to hand them over as he has in the past. But he's using this letter for a different case, a different investigation. He's using that letter to say, no, Inspector General, you can't have the documentation. Okay, so that's how all of this changed. Anyways, so now Mayor Brandon Scott is bringing in this outside firm. I want to hear from you guys on this one because I think that this is just rich. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. My question to you, does this not give the perception of obviously something to hide? I think it is. Like, why is it all of a sudden the Inspector General can't have these documents? Now, all of a sudden, you want to bring in this outside agency to now investigate or to look over the shoulder of the Inspector General. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. And then on top of this, when you're looking at the situation, even when if he brings in this outside agency, if there's a whistleblower with that outside agency and that whistleblower goes to the Inspector General and says, hey, I think this outside agency needs to be investigated. The way he wants to set this up is where if that happens and the Inspector General goes to investigate that outside agency will still be looking over her shoulder. You see how stupid this is? It makes no sense. If anything, Mayor Scott should have been in Annapolis advocating for the Inspector General bill that was put forth by lawmakers in the General Assembly to make sure there was an IG on the state level that could possibly overlook the Inspector General in Baltimore City. See, this is just, it's very messy. I think that's why Mayor Scott is doing this, because he wants it to be messy. But I will say, this also, it reeks of fraud and corruption. And when we get back, I do want to give you the question of the day, because it has to do with fraud and corruption and mayors of the past. Real quick, are you sick of prices constantly rising, especially on some of your basic health essentials? Well, you're not alone, and Rescue is doing something about it. This Memorial Month, Rescue Natural Supplements is featuring huge rollback prices on all their products, from cholesterol to metabolic support to their best-selling high-intensity omega-3s. What's more, you can actually stack your savings. When you buy two or more bottles, you're going to get a bonus bottle for free. Just go to res-q.com to shop the deals. Stock up on your favorites. Try something new that fits your health goals. All right? Rescue products are meticulously crafted, tested, and rooted in belief that wellness should be personal, effective, and grounded in science. So what are you waiting for? At this point, stack your savings with major rollback prices on top of Memorial Month
deals site-wide. Shop res-q.com or call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. And now you should know that it is the best time to put your health first and start feeling better. Go to res-q.com.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
Car crash? Slip and fall? Workplace injury? Serious injuries mean serious bills. Before you talk to an insurance company, talk to me. I'm the Ouch Guy. I know Maryland law, and I know how to win. Call 877-OUCH-911. Ouch Guy is Baltimore strong. Ouch Guy is Yehoshua Beer.
The Sean Hannity Show.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We've learned to listen.
Listen for the news at the top of the hour and again at the bottom of the hour. Then back to the top for more.
That's why it's important you listen to us.
Listen for the news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Talking about Mayor Brandon Scott and the fact that he wants oversight over the inspector general that's now investigating the mayor's office of neighborhood safety and engagement. Now, I also want to just put out there, don't forget, you got state's attorney Ivan Bates, who's been doing a phenomenal job, right? And he is a Democrat. He's been doing a phenomenal job, and he has been arresting repeat violent offenders. He's been going after some of these drug traffickers, gun traffickers, the cartel. I mean, they've been, you know, finally being arrested. I mean, the whole thing with state's attorney Ivan Bates has been great. State's attorney Ivan Bates, you know, with all these things coming to light, whether it's the investigation, whether it's Monzi, whether it's GVRS, all these things. Don't forget, the state's attorney has already said that he is no longer a partner with the mayor's office in some of these, you know, programs that he has, right? Safe Streets and all this other stuff. And this was written in a letter by state's attorney Ivan Bates, and he said, I can't partnership with them. And if you recall, in that letter, he said, I can't partnership with him and that those organizations because they operate under a veil of secrecy. That is what he said, and that is what I believe to be true. And the only reason that you would be so upset about this information going over to the inspector general is because you want to, in fact, hide something. You want to, in fact, kind of throw people off here. You think that what you're doing is right. Mayor Brandon Scott, according to him, he says, oh, homicides and non-fatal shootings are down because... they're down because of what he's doing with the Monzi program. They're down because of GVRS, which many people would say that's not the case. And I'll tell you that. It's not the case. Because before State's Attorney Ivan Bates, you had State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby. What a disaster that was. Some of the highest homicide numbers and non-fatal shootings in Baltimore's history under State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby. And this is during a lockdown. Don't ever forget that. Okay, she had the highest numbers during the COVID lockdown when people weren't even really leaving the house. It was that bad, okay? And so he had these programs in place while she was the state's attorney. They weren't working. And when you ask him for the data, they don't present any. Remember, Shante Jackson, she was the executive director over there at Monzi. She then just rolled out and left. Now it's Stephanie Mavrotis. But she was asked multiple times by even city council right there at some of those hearings, you know, where is the data? And she would say, well, you know, it's so complicated. The stuff that we do, it's so complicated. We can't possibly present any data. And now also, don't forget, you've got Mayor Scott increasing the number of staffers in his office. You see, all of this is just wrong. And the sidestep program, this little piece of the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement, the sidestep program, in my view, the way that it's set up, they're saying that they're no longer operating and, you know, doing this. But it's like, okay, if it was so successful, why'd you end the program? Right? If it was so successful. The way I see it, they were paying criminals basically to not commit crime. And they were paying them, obviously, with taxpayer dollars. That's the way I see it. And instead of letting all that come out, because of course you don't want something like that to come out, right? Instead of allowing this to come out, basically he's putting up the shield saying, oh, no, you can't look at this stuff. Because the people that we paid, obviously with the SciSet program, and they don't deny that money went out the door to some of these people. The people that they paid, they were minors. So he's saying, oh, because they're under the age of 18, the inspector general, who would not publicize this information anyway, he's saying that inspector general should not be able to see that information because it's information belonging to minors, which is also interesting because this information is being shared in the mayor's office of neighborhood safety engagement. This information is being shared all throughout his office and people that really don't have any kind of security clearance or anything or any kind of jurisdiction to oversee a minor's records or some of this information either. And the inspector general, well, she took an oath to do nothing with this information that she received and to handle it with care. Those people that are looking at it now, they didn't take an oath to do that, but yet they can view it. You see how this is crazy? All right, we get back. We'll talk more about this. Also, some other information from the Baltimore City Fire Union about Mayor Scott and some actions he recently took.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Retail sales rose last month up 0.5%, according to the Commerce Department. It was a slowdown from the red-hot rate of 1.6% in March, and that was the largest one-month increase in retail spending in more than 3 years. Their first meeting lasted a couple of hours, Chinese President Xi hosting President Trump for talks in Beijing, with Mr. Trump describing it as a great meeting. He calls a Chinese counterpart a friend. However, Xi warns of potential conflicts between the U.S. and China over Taiwan. The British military says a ship that was anchored off the United Arab Emirates has been hijacked. It's heading toward Iranian territorial waters. And Russia has launched a massive drone and missile attack on Ukraine's capital and other cities. The overnight attack killed at least 4 people, injured dozens more in the capital, Kiev. More details at SRNNews.com.
Is your roof leaking? Do you have water spots in your walls or ceilings? Do you have leaks around your chimney or skylights? If so, then you may need to repair or replace your roof before that damage escalates. Call Wallace Roofing at 410-655-3700. Wallace Roofing, family-owned and operated, is your full-service roofing company, specializing in steep and flat roofs, all types of metal roofs, gutters, downspouts, and skylights. They do residential and commercial roofs. Getting a roof repaired is something most homeowners dread, and when the roof does need repair, it's important to get not only the finest quality materials available, but a fair and reasonable price on installing those materials as well. So if your roof is showing signs of wear or other problems, call Wallace Roofing at 410-655-3700. 410-655-3700. Wallace Roofing does roof repair and replacement. Call Wallace Roofing today. Wallace Roofing, 410-655-3700. MHIC number 1566. Wallace Roofing. Remember, above all, a good roof.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again.
And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a good ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into too tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating 2 of his 3 runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter. Bird shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking 2 of 3 from New York. After the game, manager Albernaz on the Birds' complete team win.
It's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and be diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, 3-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in 6 of his 8 seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy, noticeably cooler and breezy today with a few stray showers possible and highs in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy and cool tonight, temperatures fall back into the upper 40s. Bright and sunny by Friday and a little milder with highs in the low 70s before a big summer warm-up this weekend that brings us into the mid-80s Saturday, near 90 by Sunday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstedt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstedt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
From Cockeysville to Sykesville, from Churchville to Crownsville, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
She traveled this road.
All right, we're talking about Mayor Brandon Scott. Good morning. It's Thursday. A little bit, I'll we'll post the pictures from Olivia's spring site recital last night. Oh, I was waiting for her friend's picture to come over. Her mom, Mandy, just sent it over. But her friend Stella, they all looked great. I told you guys, the theme was the Jacksons, right? They were singing Jackson 5s and stuff like that. And now you got this Jackson movie that's out. So, of course, they took advantage of it. Most of the kids showed up all themed out. All right? All themed out. And just so you know, Olivia did allow me to put like 2 Afro Puff balls on her head. Like Afro Puff pigtails. When I was explaining it to her, she was like, what? What is that? Right? She had no idea what I was talking about. But then I did it and she was like, oh, this is cool. Right? So then, and she looked so good. Such like the part. And then her friend Stella, she almost had like a hippie look going on. It was so good. It was so good. The kids are so cute. Anyways, I'll post those on social media in just a little bit, if you care to even check it out. You might not even care. Anyways, we were talking about Mayor Brandon Scott, and I did see the note from the caller, Brian, the producer, I appreciate that, asking, would the whistleblower still be protected if there was an outside agency looking over the shoulder of the inspector general? That's a great question. Whoever called that in. I don't know. I would think that then their identity would be known to that outside agency. And then that outside agency would what? Would go and tell the mayor and everybody else. Because that outside agency at that point would report to the mayor. So basically that's what the mayor wants to do. He wants somebody overlooking the shoulder of the IG to update him on what the IG is investigating. Ridiculous. Now, don't forget, this is a bill that was proposed by the mayor yesterday. It's got about 4 different pieces or parts to it. But this has to be approved by the city council. And this is on the heels, don't forget, this is on the heels of Councilman Mark Conway presenting his legislation to give the IG more access. Now, I said that his bill was, you know, also politically motivated. He's running for Congress against Congressman Quayce and Fume. And one of the pillars of his platform is all about transparency. So that's why he presented this. And I said to you, I don't really care, right? I mean, I don't care why he presented it. It's a good bill. right? The Inspector General needs these documents so that she can do her job. So it's a good bill, but that proposed bill failed. City Council said, no, we're not going to give the IG more oversight. And don't forget, in Baltimore County, you had a bill similarly proposed in Annapolis by Delegate Ryan Araki and Senator Carl Jackson, giving the IG more oversight over the school budget. Remember that this past session? That failed amongst their Democrat colleagues. And then on the state level, when Governor Westmore was asked about having an IG on the state level, and there was another bill that was put forth to, you know, have this state level IG, Governor Westmore said, no, we don't need that. I have an outside agency. See, all these Democrats, they don't want you to be able to see what they're doing with your tax dollars. That alone should tell a voter that this is not the person for me. And I'm not saying it's just Democrats. I'm sure there are Republican seats across the country where they're also very corrupt. I don't want people to think that I'm just putting this on one side. When there is mob party rule on either side, you will get this waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. That is what you are going to get. Here in the state of Maryland, it's the Democrat Party. And so people say, Kim, why are you always mentioning the Democrats? Because I'm in Maryland, and it's the Democrats that are doing this. You have Democrats introducing bills like Councilman Mark Conway. Like it or not, yeah, he's a Democrat. He introduced a bill to give the IG some more oversight so she can get these documents. That's a Democrat going against other Democrats. I told you, Senator Carl Jackson, he got really screamed at by his colleagues, his Democrat colleagues, because they were mad that he wanted transparency over the school budget. Again, our property taxes, our tax dollars are in the school budget. They literally raked him across hot coals because he wanted an inspector general to be able to oversee what's going on with the money going into the school system, especially when you've got the blueprint for education quite literally bankrupting the state. Billions upon billions of dollars being spent on the school system, and what are the results? Lower test scores. Why wouldn't you want to see where that money is going? Anyways, I say this, you know, honestly, because I'm hoping somebody's listening that's on the edge that are thinking, you know what, maybe I should change my vote. And remember, I'm not telling you, I'm not asking you to change your party. That's not what I'm asking of you. I'm asking you to look at each candidate as they are individually. And if you have an individual like Mayor Scott that is against transparency, that doesn't want you to see how he's utilizing your money, I mean, honestly, do you really want that person in office? Speaking of which, let's go to the question of the day real quick before we head on. WCBM.com, also the WCBM app. It is free in the App Store. Please download it if you can. Here is the question for today. And this is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Which mayor managed Baltimore City better? Which mayor managed Baltimore City better? This is just your opinion, all right? Here are your options. Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, Catherine Pugh, Brandon Scott, Kurt Schmoke. I would have added Sheila Dixon, but whenever we add five or more, the poll thing, it gets all... Remember that whole thing with Dan Cox? Yeah, so I'm not ever doing that again. I'm never doing that again, because then the poll question gets stretched out with the answers, and then some people complain that they can't see all the answers, okay? But Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, Catherine Pugh, Brandon Scott, or Kurt Schmoke. You know, who manages the city better? Because in Brandon Scott's view, he's doing a phenomenal job. He's saying the homicide rate and the non-fatal shootings, they're all down. And because of that, he's doing a fantastic job. He's saying that GVRS, Safe Streets, all these programs that the state's attorney wants nothing to do with, he's saying those programs absolutely work. Now, if you're wondering where the data on these programs are, we don't have any. So you're probably wondering, well, how does he know that they're working? He doesn't. He doesn't know. He does not know at all. He's just saying that. All right. Before the break, I also wanted to talk to you about a post that I saw late last night. This is why, you know what? I need more sleep. I do need more sleep, but then I see posts like this and I'm thinking, oh no, I've got now I've got a problem because now I've got to dig into this and see what's going on. And there was a post by Baltimore City's fire union, and I'm assuming that it is Matthew Koster, the president there, that posted this. And I'm assuming that this is his post specifically. And I wanted to just read it to you, but also just want to say to you, in the comments, there were a lot of comments here. And one of them being City Councilman Yitzi Schleifer. Okay. So as you're listening to this, I want you to just keep in mind, Yitzi Schleifer said that he agrees with the comment, with what is being said as well. So this could heat up in the coming days. All right. So Baltimore Firefighters, Local 734, it says this: the mayor's recommended budget proposes staffing one fewer fire suppression company daily to save approximately $2 million. He says, let this sink in. At a time when firefighters across this country and right here in Baltimore continue to make the ultimate sacrifice, this administration believes the answer is to reduce frontline suppression staffing. Haven't our members suffered enough loss? Haven't we learned the lessons written in blood about the importance of adequate staffing and available companies on the street? Again, this is a Baltimore City Firefighters Union, Matthew Koster. He says, once again, the burden of correcting fiscal shortcomings is being placed on the backs of firefighters and paramedics who are already being asked to do more with less every single day. Cutting frontline resources while call volumes, staffing shortages, and operational demands continue to rise is not a sustainable solution. It is a dangerous one. He says every suppression unit taken out of service increases response times, stretches remaining companies thinner, and puts both firefighters and citizens at greater risk. Fires do not wait. Cardiac arrests do not wait. Baltimore residents deserve fully staffed fire companies ready to respond when seconds matter. Reports and internal committee recommendations have repeatedly emphasized the importance of improving fire ground operations, accountability, and safety. Those lessons cannot be ignored. Reducing suppression staffing moves us in the wrong direction and creates unnecessary danger for both firefighters and the communities we protect. Public safety starts with the boots on the ground, staffed apparatus, and enough firefighters to do the job safely and effectively. We will continue to fight for the safety of our members and citizens as we serve. Again, Matthew Koster, the president of the Baltimore Firefighters, a Local 734. Okay. Heartbreaking, isn't it? I mean, how many days did we spend talking about the firefighters that we lost, especially in the South Stricker Street fire? Now you've got the mayor who wants to save apparently roughly $2 million. He wants fewer fire suppression companies. A free fire suppression company daily just to save that money. This is the same mayor that is increasing the staff in his office by 34 people. Don't forget that. You've got the population of Baltimore City on decline. You've got less people in the city, yet he's increasing the staff in his personal office. This is why that podcaster, Mr. Mayor, this is why he was talking about you living high on the hog. How is it that you're taking money away from the firefighters, the EMS? I mean, how many times have we heard that the 911 call system isn't working properly? You're taking money away from public safety? Now, this is after, don't forget, how many times have we had the firefighter union in here? Many times in Baltimore City. We had Matthew Koster here in person. He was here with Rachel Buttram, you know, the widow of Paul Buttram, who was killed in the South Stricker Street fire. You know, they still have that civil case going on. Then on top of it, you know, we had him on the line at one time, right on the phone. And then before that, we had the previous fire union president. And they were talking about, and Josh Fannin and everybody, they were talking about the fact that they were begging the mayor for $5 million. You remember that? They were talking about the apparatus that they needed. They were talking about the asbestos. They were talking about, you know, just everything going on with the firehouses. And all they want is for the firefighters to live in humane conditions as they are saving lives every single day. Is that too much to ask? And here you got the mayor increasing staff in his office as asbestos is still on the walls. As firefighters are being injured on the job because they don't have the correct apparatus. Just think about this. our heroes being starved. $2 million. They had to beg for that $5 million check. Now the mayor's saying, give me $2 million of it back. It's a shame. It is absolutely shameful. And I'm sure the mayor's not even embarrassed. Increasing his staff for what? Did we ever get a list? We didn't even get a list. Nobody even asked or even got an answer for who these people are, why he needs them. Remember? Everybody was asking, what do you mean you're increasing your office staff? For what? What are they going to be doing? We know exactly what the firefighters are doing. Putting their lives on the line every... Not going to curse. Day. I feel so bad for our first responders. I do. I really do. You don't deserve this. All right, I wanted to read a couple of the comments here. Because obviously this is a sad state of affairs. So far, 443 comments on this post. Of course, I have a comment on the post. Because I will never forget. Remember we talked about this, Brian the producer? You probably remember this. I'll never forget when we found out that this fire union, Local 734, was endorsing Mayor Brandon Scott for re-election. They endorsed him over Sheila Dixon. And yes, I did. I made a stink about it on the show. I was so heartbroken and so upset about it because I was there at that ceremony at the Washington Convention Center in Delaney Valley. And I was there watching the widows, watching children, watching families broken, crying as they were laying to rest their loved ones that were killed on South Stricker Street. Paul Buttram, Kelsey Sadler, Kenny Lacayo. I will never forget that day. And I appreciate Rachel Buttram and her family for allowing me the opportunity to be with them that day. But I will never forget looking up on that stage and watching the mayor come bebopping out, always, never looking appropriate for the occasion. And he takes center stage to speak and he starts making comments like he actually cared about the fire department, like as if we didn't know that at that moment they were begging him for money to have what they needed to be safe. As if we didn't know that those vacant homes weren't even properly marked. So they would have known not to run in that house that day. These vacant houses still standing there. And as this guy, traveling to, where was he, Madrid? Talking about how he has handled the vacant home situation. Please. Bulldozing a couple of them and turning into vacant lots. That's not handling it. It's so upsetting. But I was heartbroken that day. And I was basically told by, people with the fire union that Sheila Dixon had done a terrible job. And they thought he was the lesser of the two evils. And I never thought that. I never once thought that Mayor Scott was the lesser of two evils. I thought Sheila Dixon, if you get on her case enough, she'll do it. I thought Sheila Dixon is a different kind of person altogether. Her mindset is different. She doesn't blame problems in Baltimore on race. She's just different. Mayor Scott is an arrogant little boy. And he doesn't really care. He doesn't care. If it doesn't benefit him, if there's no return on investment personally, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the return on investment for the city. It's about him. Anyways, we get back from break. I wanted to read to you a couple comments, including the comment from Councilman Yitzi Schleifer. Because obviously this move, to remove, some of the staffing there with Baltimore City firefighters just to save $2 million when Mayor Scott is shoveling millions of dollars into his own office for what we don't even know. Well, if you could imagine, there's a lot of people with their eyebrows raised. We'll talk about it when we get back.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There is an axis of evil, but there's always been one. And, there probably always will be one. And in this case, it's Russia, it's China, it's Iran, it's North Korea. The only thing I can say is, I wish people had a greater understanding and confidence, there's nothing that's not going to be said there. I mean, when you have President Trump, Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, all these people, you know, none of them are going to give a flying rip what President Xi thinks. They're not. And he can bring up whatever agenda items they want. Unless it's beneficial to America, it's just not going to happen. It's really that simple.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Personal safety is about more than protection. It's about peace of mind. Our friends at Byrner, they're the world leader in less lethal personal defense. Right now, they are offering $100 off the powerful, the proven Byrner LE Gen 2 launcher while supplies last. Now, this LE, as in law enforcement launchers, was engineered for police, relied upon by law enforcement globally every single day. It's now available for the public to buy, giving families across the country a powerful way to protect yourselves without using lethal force. Now, this LE Gen 2 fires powerful kinetic rounds and chemical irritant projectiles with an effective range of up to 60 feet designed to help deter and de-escalate any threat. You don't need a background check. You don't need a permit. It's legal in all 50 states, and they will ship it right to your door. All of these launchers hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go to BYRNA.com. That's BYRNA.com.
Are you stressed because of your IRS back tax bill, the possibility of wage garnishment or property lien? Then call Priority Tax Relief now, 800-314-0045. At Priority Tax, we work directly with the IRS to protect you and your assets. Thousands of our customers have resolved for far less than their original balance. Connect to the IRS for free in minutes. 800-314-0045.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Yousefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Yousefi. Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. So, we were talking about the Boulder City Fire Union. Local 734, they had a post yesterday that a lot of people weighed in on because we found out through this post that Mayor Brandon Scott, to save $2 million, he is cutting some of the suppression staff in the fire department. Now, someone did ask, what is the suppression unit? Okay, so I love the fact that they asked this because somebody, of course, responded. And Nathan responded to this person saying that means whether it's an engine, truck, hazmat, rescue, fireboat, squad, all suppression pieces, any one of those units could be placed out of service. Which one are you going to choose first? So that is what they mean by suppression unit. So I guess they would have to decide within the fire department, you know, daily, which one are they not going to call in to work? Now, how on earth would you know whether or not you need hazmat at 8 a.m. if there isn't a hazmat issue until 3 p.m.? You wouldn't know. But you can't call them in, right, because they're saving the $2 million. That's how crazy this is. This is how dangerous this is. Now, I did told you before the break that Councilman Isaac Schleifer was on this post. He said, Matthew Koster, you have my full support on this. Matthew Koster responded. He says, I appreciate it, sir. And, of course, there are many people weighing in. I wanted to read just a couple of these comments because a lot of these people are firefighters or retired firefighters. Steven said, you know, it was so crazy. How much is his new staff members going to cost the taxpayers per year? And Eric, a gentleman by the name of Eric, he said, oh, I did the math before. He says 16 of those new staffers would cost us $4.5 million annually. Now, whether or not Eric has that math correct, I'm not certain, but that is the response he had for Stephen. You've got Bob. He says it's only money to them. That's all they care about until someone dies. The politicians are always willing to take the chance. Of course, many people pointing out of the increase in staff. It's so sad. It's so sad. Now, of course, a lot of people say this is wrong, obviously. Jennifer says, invite your mayor to ride with you on the busiest engine and get himself a reality check. Now, he probably wouldn't even take up that offer, but I think, Jennifer, that's a great idea. Sad indeed. If there's some updates there, now that Yitzhak Schleifer's involved, I imagine there will be some updates. Now, make sure to keep you up to date. Coming up next, we are going to be joined. We're going to shift gears here and talk a little bit about the governor. We'll be joined by Tory Snow. He's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. And it, yes, it's about Governor Wes Moore and even mentions his military service. And Tory Snow, he usually likes to, poke the bear a little bit. So when we get back, we'll have that conversation with him and so much more. Make sure you stay right there.
Hey, Bel Air, Alfonso here from Sol Oaxaca. Come check out one of the best happy hours in the area. Enjoy ice cold draft beers, handcrafted cocktails, and some of the best margaritas around. Plus great deals on food, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. And the fun doesn't stop there. Trivia night every Tuesday, live music on Wednesdays, and karaoke every Thursday. Great drinks, amazing food, and nonstop fun. Only at Sol Oaxaca and Bel Air. Just search S-O-L-O-A-X-A-C-A for Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air and join us today. The best food and the most fun is at Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air.
Here's why Jarvis Appliance is so highly rated. Great selection with great prices on all major appliance brands. Options to match many appliances exactly to your cabinetry and decor. Very quick delivery available on Jarvis in-stock appliances. And don't forget Jarvis frequently offers rebates plus convenient financing too. All Jarvis deliveries, installation, and appliance service is done in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, J-A-R-V-I-S. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Retail sales rose last month, up 0.5%, according to the Commerce Department. It was a slowdown from the red-hot rate of 1.6% in March. That was the largest one-month increase in retail spending in more than 3 years. The first meeting lasted a couple of hours. Chinese President Xi hosting President Trump for talks in Beijing, with Mr. Trump describing it as a great meeting. But Xi warns of potential conflicts between the U.S. and China over Taiwan. All of this followed a grand arrival ceremony for President Trump.
There were trumpets, a red carpet, a military honor guard, and flower-waving children as Chinese President Xi Jinping welcomed President Trump and they ventured into the Great Hall of the People for talks. Trump began by calling Xi a friend.
You and I have known each other now for a long time. In fact, the longest relationship of our two countries that any president and president has had, and that's to me an honor.
But Xi was darker, expressing hope that the U.S. and China can avoid conflict and the trap of a rising power threatening to displace an established one that can lead to war. Thorny issues include the Iran war, trade disputes, and Washington's relationship with Taiwan. I'm Ben Thomas.
The British military says a ship that was anchored off the United Arab Emirates was seized by an unknown party and at last word was heading toward Iranian waters. Russia has launched a massive drone and missile attack on Ukraine's capital and other cities just hours after a rare daylight barrage. Today's overnight attack killed at least 4 people, injured dozens more in Kiev. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 256 points, the Nasdaq 110 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
There's a moment nobody talks about with weight loss. It's the moment it stops working. The diet that worked before doesn't. Eating less stops moving the scale. That's not random. When your body's under stress, it slows your metabolism. That's why quick fixes eventually fail. At PHG Weight Loss, they focus on restoring your metabolism. And right now, when you call and mention Mike G, you'll get 2 free weeks and they'll pay for the cost of your food. Call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Kirkcameron.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. The city of Annapolis will be enacting a special traffic and parking plan in Eastport for next week's Blue Angel show. The change is being made to keep the peninsula from being at a traffic standstill after the Blue Angels practice and perform over the Severn River on Tuesday and Wednesday. Those planning to watch the show from the Eastport side can expect parking to be more limited than usual. And there will be a few detours designed to keep things moving. Full details are posted on the City of Annapolis social media sites. And Fox 45 reports that in Park Heights, residents said their trust in City Hall is fading as they grapple with abandoned homes, drug activity, and poverty, and as city leaders move to undo voter-approved term limits. A street interview in the neighborhood where the mayor once lived found deep skepticism about city government. Others described a community they feel has been left behind. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balance care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes the solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again. And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a good ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into two tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall. Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating two of his three runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter. Byrd shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking two of three from New York. After the game, manager Albernaz on the Byrds' complete team win.
That's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and be diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in six of his eight seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
WCBM News Time, 10:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy, breezy, and much cooler today. We could see a couple of sprinkles with highs in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy tonight as temperatures fall back into the upper 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
55 degrees in Bully's Quarters, 53 in Pikesville, and 55 in Joppatown. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Yep, it's Thursday. We got our controversial friend on the line. If you're just joining us, just so you know, we were talking about Mayor Brandon Scott just a little bit ago. He wants oversight over the oversight. The Inspector General is taking a peek into his office, or at least trying to. She has a lawsuit filed with the court system, trying to get some more documentation that has been redacted by the mayor. And because of that, because of all she's looking into, and this is, again, thanks to a whistleblower, because of it, he says, you know what? We're going to bring in an outside agency to look over her shoulder while she's doing these investigations. Now, of course, this bill has just been proposed. We'll see if Mayor Brandon Scott has the votes. Don't forget, Councilman Conway, even though it was very politically motivated, but we don't care. He did introduce a bill to give the IG those documents and the access to documents, but the city council voted that down. Now, I did see a couple notes, just so you guys know real quick, side note on it. I did see where council members were saying that vote was hastily brought to the floor. And what it did really did give the IG the access as it was described to the media. So, I don't know. I did not read that bill word for word, obviously. I read the cliff notes and the press releases. And so, if that is the case, then I will say, Councilman Mark Conway, you're going to have to go back to the drawing board if you're really serious about getting the IG the access. Anyways, we'll talk more about Mayor Brandon Scott, I'm sure, next week. I did want to make sure that we talk about the governor today. Lots of movement, even within his campaign. So we got to get our guests on the line here. Torrey Snow is a columnist at the Baltimore Sun. He's also got free range politics as well, which he shares with Europe C. Morgan. Good morning, Torrey. How are you?
Good morning, Kimberly. Doing great.
Oh, great. Well, Torrey, you know, you never cease to amaze me with your op-eds. They're always a lot, very thoughtful, I will say. I could say that you really critically think about a lot of the issues that we have here, especially locally. And Governor Moore's re-election bid is definitely something that is on the top of everyone's mind. Interesting enough, as you noted in your op-ed, a lot of people are looking into his military record. I will have to say, Torrey, I'm going to let you just kind of take the lead on this one. Just so people know, again, it's in the Baltimore Sun. The title, Westmore's Military Record Isn't His Vulnerability. What did you mean by that, Torrey?
So look, I have been following this whole situation for quite some time. And I just have to burst people's bubbles, right? I think that there's this hope that, oh, now we have this information about his records and people are going to finally see the truth. Now people are going to come around and they're not going to support him. And then we're going to see some openings there. And I'm concerned because I see Republicans that are, you know, feeling like they might have some momentum. And I'm sorry to burst your bubbles. The facts don't care about your feelings. These types of attacks rarely have the effect that people hope they have. And that's what I argue in the op-ed. And I give some examples, right? I brought up Obama. I brought up Donald Trump. The whole idea of digging into his military record and bringing that up is not going to bring Governor Moore down. The only thing that will get people to vote differently is attacking the policy issues.
Okay, so you think the discrepancies, the gaps in his military career, his promotions, which could, you know, have been pushed forward because of some of his connections,
yep.
You don't think that's going to get people to pause?
Nope. not at all. I mean, look, remember back in, you know, when Obama was running back in 2008, and this was actually the Democrats. A lot of times Donald Trump gets blamed for this, but it was the Democrats that started circulating this idea. Well, he's not an American citizen, right? And he was born somewhere else, right? The whole idea was that, well, if we get people to understand that he's not really a U.S. citizen, if we get people to understand he's not legitimate, then maybe they'll vote differently. It didn't pan out. Remember when they had Donald Trump and they had him dead to rights, and they got a mugshot out of that dude, and they're like, if we tell people how evil he is enough, then maybe finally people will change their mind. Did that change anybody's mind about Donald Trump?
Well, I look at that as different, right? A mugshot in today's society, and we talk about how society has gone a bit downhill, you know, as far as standards. But when you're looking at the mugshot, I think people thought that that was cool. I didn't think it was cool, but people kind of took it that way.
It's the mugshot. Like, it's the idea, well, he had these bankruptcies, and he doesn't know how to run businesses. Nobody cared. And the point that I'm making, and again, this is not just me. This is just, I mean, the facts, right? The facts are, there's no evidence, none at all, that exposing all the details of his records are going to cause people to vote differently. There's a chance. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some fantasy world in which people do start considering that. I'm making the argument, let's start focusing and keep focusing on the economy. Let's keep focusing on these issues that have been happening in state offices, you know, when it comes to these legislative audits. Let's keep focusing on the fact that people are leaving the state of Maryland. I am concerned that the governor will use this whole military record thing as a way to distract from the way that he has absolutely tanked the state of Maryland, and I'm worried about that.
Well, I think we can agree on that one, right? I mean, what is Westmore really running on, right? You need four more years of what? Right? I mean, like,
right.
More taxes, more fees?
Budget surpluses, right? Four more years of unprecedented state, you know, funding into schools that continue to have low graduation rates, which, by the way, they're getting worse, right? Graduation, you know, dropout rates, I think it's like 45% dropout rate for Maryland schools. Like, it's, things are getting worse overall, but now all of the oxygen is being sucked out by this discussion about this military records, which, I mean, you know, whatever is going on there, whatever the facts are, I think is going to carry a lot less weight than the fact that people have payment plans for their vehicle registrations. And I am warning Republicans not to give him an opening, because if this continues, then it's just going to be become a discussion of, well, did Governor Moore really serve in combat? Did he really go overseas? And I think that that's going to have a lot less impact on Maryland voters.
See, I got to disagree. All right. There's a couple things here. When you said, you know, President Trump's bankruptcies and failed businesses, I will say I don't look at someone's bankruptcies and failed businesses if they've had businesses that did not fail. I don't look at that as a failure. Right. I look at that as part of being a businessman. Right. It's part of the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when that came forward, I didn't look at that as anything negative. Right. I look at a guy that's like putting himself out there and, you know, creating employment. And yeah, some businesses fail. That's just the nature of the beast. But I will say, as far as the military records with Governor Westmore, I do believe that it's going to hold weight. And I say this, you know, only Tori, because, you know, as I sit here and so many people, you know, veterans, those that are currently serving, they call in, they text in, you know, the whole thing with the stolen valor, right? And then awarding it to himself many years later after he told this story. And, you know, people are very upset about that. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of veterans out there that are unaffiliated voters. And, you know, a Republican would need to try to stripe some of those voters.
Where were they in 2022?
In 2022, by the time we found out about the stolen valor, I thought it was towards the very end.
Okay, in any case. Look, even after all that stuff came out, he still has high approval ratings. His approval rating only started dropping when they implemented that vehicle registration fee, right? The payment plans for the vehicle registration fee. When people began to leave the state of Maryland, those were the things that impacted those things. Look, if there was any juice in this, like if there was any juice in this lemon, as I described, we would have seen the result. I would have agreed with you if we had seen some evidence that that had any sort of bearing on the 2022 election. But there's nothing that leaves me reassured that people care enough enough about that issue that it's going to impact their voting behavior. I honestly don't believe it.
So you don't think this is a character flaw that anybody will care about?
No, that's different. I didn't say that I'm not concerned about it. What I'm saying is that it will not carry political weight. I don't think there's any person out there that's a fan of Governor Moore or even ambivalent on Governor Moore that's going to see this and say, maybe I'm going to go in a different direction. I could be wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am.
We're both just kind of...
is to stay on what people's, the kitchen table issues. Stay focused on how his policies have tanked the state of Maryland. Focus on the things that matter to Marylanders, not the things that make us feel, good, feel justified. Because the way that I see it, attacks on his military records are more for the benefit of his critics, right? That makes us feel more vindicated. And yes, this guy is dishonest. Yes, this guy really has had these issues. It makes us feel great. But at the end of the day, the facts continue to bear out that these types of attacks rarely carry any weight politically.
Well, I'm hoping, and this is just me with my wishful thinking, Tory. Again, we're speaking to Tory Snow. He's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. I'm hoping on a national level, when he does try to run for the Oval Office, if it's against like a Pete Buttigieg or a J.D. Vance or what have you, I'm hoping all of this will come up and be front and center, right?
I don't think it will. Here's what I'm worried about. I think that continuing down this road will elevate him to national office because we're making a martyr out of him, right? They're already spending this narrative. Oh, well, so they're just attacking him because he's a black man. They're just attacking him because they're just going through his record. Nobody's record ever gets going through. That's their line of attack, and we are literally setting up Barack Obama 2.0. And we'll have the same exact result. And then when he's elected, and people are going to be like, well, why didn't all the people knew all the stuff about his military background? And I'm going to say, I told you so. You should have focused on his policy issues. I'm telling you, if we continue down this road, and if the Republicans continue to make this a primary issue, we are begging him to run for national office. We are giving his supporters fuel, right? Because they no longer see this as a policy issue, but they see this as a personal issue. This guy doesn't like them, or they're going through these things. They're treating him unfairly. I need to balance the scale, so I need to give him more money. I need to donate to him. I need to campaign for him. I need to knock doors for him. All of this translates into political capital for the governor. And I'm saying stop fueling his ship for him.
Man, Tory. See, and I guess we'll just agree to disagree on that. Let me ask you this, because we find out his campaign manager is leaving his campaign on Friday. In your opinion, why do you think that is?
Oh, I think they're just reorganizing and preparing. Look, what I personally feel like, I think that some adjustments have had to be made, right? I think originally the plan was to kind of position his campaign as something that was going to help him go towards the White House, right, and to do different, things in that different direction. I think that it is becoming more and more evident that he doesn't have a chance at national office, right? He didn't have a chance. I feel like we're creating openings for him with this whole military story, but I feel like this reorganization is him realizing, whoa, I think I might actually be governing the state of Maryland for another 4 years, and so maybe we need to pivot and do things a little bit differently. That's what I think it is. I think this change has to do with him pivoting away from running for president and more towards something different.
Okay, so you don't think it's, because this guy doesn't want to manage the damage control and the possible lies that could come out of it?
I mean, I haven't seen anything to suggest. I mean, look, the more they have that is a tight team over there, right? And they have millions of dollars pouring into that. They only want the best of the best that are in that. And so I do, maybe there's some of that. But I personally, the only thing I can observe is that I feel like his strategy is changing as far as what his future plans are. And I think those future plans might involve Maryland more than he originally anticipated.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just disagree on this one, because I look at this as a major flaw, right? Because when I put the entire list together, Tory, I look at the gaps in his military service, right? The Bronze Star situation.
Well, hold on. Let me pause you. We're not disagreeing that this is a flaw.
No. I'm telling you how I look at this. I'm telling you how I think the voters will look at it, because this is how I look at it. And then I put on top of this, the taxes and the fees. I put on top of it the fact that the foster care system allowed Kanaya Ward to commit suicide under their watch, right? Or the foster care kids that were set in houses with sexual predators. I put on top of this. I guess for me, this is just another layer to that, to that puzzle. Where it's like this guy just can't seem to do the right thing, and he can't get it right. And this shows that he has not done that, even as his as he was coming up in his personal life, right, his military career.
I hope you're right. My instincts tell me I'm not wrong. I think it's going to be a distraction. Here's how you can tell if I'm right or not. Watch how they deal with this over the next couple of months. And here's what I'm predicting is going to happen. They're going to start leaning in on it, and he's going to start going on news national networks, and he's going to start talking about his military. So he's going to lean in on his military. Watch me. And if you see him leaning into his military service, they see this as an opportunity to escape his record in Maryland. Mark my words on that.
All right. Look, you've been right in the past. You know, you told me Mayor Scott was racist. I didn't believe you, but no. You were right. This guy, did you hear the interview real quick this morning?
I'm rarely wrong, huh?
So this morning he said he was doing an interview and he was asked about the Black Podcaster YouTube video and the fact that Isabel Cummings shared it. And so the interviewer asked him, you know, he said, look, you made it about race, but the podcaster himself was a Black man. Why'd you make it about race? His response, Tori, Mayor Scott says, well, that podcaster is a self-hating Black man.
Oh,
that's why it was racist.
I haven't heard that one in a minute.
Yes.
Man, that's
yes.
A classic. Okay.
And I'm like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, there goes Tori Snow again. Strikes again. He had his number a long time ago. Well, Tori, real quick, thanks always for joining us on Thursdays at 10 o'clock. How can people keep up with you?
Well, first I want to remind folks to get yourself a subscription to the Baltimore Sun, baltimoresun.com/Tori Snow. $1 for 3 months subscription, and now is the time to get a subscription. Lots of great stories coming out, lots of great information. You can be informed on a number of things and read my op-eds. Also, please follow us on Free Range Politics. Go to YouTube, type Free Range Politics. You can follow our YouTube page. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Wherever you're on social media, you can find Free Range Politics, where Yuripsy and I discuss the issues of the day. So that's the way of it. Thanks so
well,
much,
Tori. I thank you and appreciate always the food for
I'm
thought.
I'm looking forward to your text about how the audience responded.
Yeah.
I gotta get back to work.
You know, I'll text you
I'm
later.
I'm curious about the feedback.
Yes. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tori. All right.
Hi, Sean Casey, and with me once again, Dr. Melissa Segev, Doctor of Audiology, Audiology Associates, When Silence Is Not Golden. Doctor, great to see you again.
It's good to see you, too.
All right. We hear a lot about tinnitus, however you pronounce it.
Yep.
What is it? How do you treat it? When is it dangerous? When is it not?
Yeah. I mean, tinnitus is a phantom sound. I can't hear it. You hear it. And we know it's real. So a lot of patients are always told, oh, you live with it. And it can be really bothersome. It can cause anxiety, depression. People can't function. So we always take it very seriously. And we're all tinnitus trained. So we're all tinnitus certified at our practice. So there's a lot of different methods. But really, the key is to understand why it's there. And for most patients, when we have hearing loss, the brain isn't getting the same stimulation it used to. So it creates it, and it's creating that tinnitus for us. Comparable to someone who loses a foot and they still feel pain in the foot, you know, the brain has to rewire itself. And so if you have hearing loss, which is usually the most common cause of tinnitus, along with noise exposure, treating the ear with hearing aids are the best treatment options, because almost immediately patients, when they're fit with hearing aids that are prescribed for them and measured appropriately, the tinnitus ceases. It doesn't go away. We never guarantee silence, but it becomes significantly less noticeable. So on a scale of 10, if you're at like a 7, 8 in annoyance, we're going to bring you down to a 2 or 3. And, you know, you'll get so busy during the day, you won't even focus on it. And so over time, what you'll notice is that the tinnitus, there's no cure, because tinnitus is created in the brain, but there are several treatments that are so effective in helping to manage, especially in the past when everyone's been told there's nothing to do about it.
If you're experiencing tinnitus and would need treatment, or if you have a concern about your hearing, then call Audiology Associates, When Silence Is Not Golden, 410-944-3100. 11 locations in total, 9 in Maryland, 2 in Washington, D.C. That's Audiology Associates. And don't forget their website. It's AAIAudiology.com.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's Attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, Trump gets a hero's welcome in China. And Operation Sledgehammer about to begin in Iran.
Bang, zoom.
We'll give you all of the developments and new comedy from Jim Gossett, noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, that was Tori Snow, his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. We were talking about it. In case you want to search it out, the title, Westmore's Military Record Isn't His Vulnerability. And I wanted you to call in if you wanted to, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I got some text messages to read as well. I will just say that I look at this, as I was trying to explain there to Tori, I look at this as just another layer of lies. And I think, you know, as you stack these things up, people are going to say, wow, this guy, you know, politicians, a lot of them are shady. But this guy lies about everything, right? He lied about growing up in Baltimore City. He essentially lies, you know, because, again, we don't even get the story, right? No one even asked him, you know, why, when did you make the switch from Republican to Democrat? I still want to know the answer. I want to know the answer. He was a staunch, proud Republican in college. Valley Forge, that was his big, you know, thing in his yearbook. And so it's like, then he goes on to be a White House fellow with a thesis we can't find from Oxford, right? And then he changes, and this is, we found this out because of Andrew Kerr at the Washington Free Beacon. He changes, you know, what he actually said in the thesis, supposedly. This was supposed to be about radical Islam, according to Wes Moore many years ago. But now he's saying that it was about Hamas. And Andrew Kerr said, well, wait a minute. That can't be. And so he even changed that, but he won't actually produce the thesis itself. And when asked about it, he says, well, I'm just so busy. I don't have time to look for that thesis. And then again, he was a White House fellow for Condoleezza Rice, a Republican. He was a proud Republican for so long. And then on top of it, remember the story about the KKK in Georgia? That supposedly ran his great-grandfather out of town. He actually went back to Jamaica because the KKK was so bad, according to the story that he has told many times at public speaking events. Well, they found out that the KKK wasn't even in that part of Georgia. They didn't. They weren't there at all. So that's not why his great-grandfather, according to the reporters, went back to Jamaica. It must have been for another reason. But that's the story that Westmore tells. And so when I look at the gaps in the military record, I look at the Bronze Star situation, I look at it as another lie layered on top. And, you know, as you know, the veterans and those that have served, I mean, who lies about their military record? I guess Tim Walz, right? The governor now not running for re-election in Minnesota. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Following the first meeting of their summit, which ran a couple of hours, President Trump and Chinese President Xi attended a state dinner in Beijing. Earlier, his Chinese hosts rolled out the red carpet for President Trump. The White House says the two presidents had a good meeting, talking, among other things, about enhancing economic cooperation. Although China's Xi did warn President Trump of a potential confrontation between the U.S. and China over Taiwan, Secretary of State Rubio says it would be a terrible mistake for China to try to take Taiwan by force. The British military reports the seizure of a ship that had been anchored off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. No word on who commandeered the vessel, although last word it was sailing toward Iranian waters. The Dow is up 259 points. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're 62 or older and you're still making a mortgage payment every month, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The payment may be the same, but everything else costs more. And that doesn't leave you much room in your budget each month. So month after month, the payments keep coming. Hi, I'm Mark McVeary. Did you know a reverse mortgage can pay off that current mortgage and eliminate that monthly payment? You stay in your home. You keep ownership. And for a lot of people, That's the difference between getting by and having some breathing room each month in their budget. I know people hear reverse mortgage and right away think, that's not for me. So they never bothered to look into it, and nothing changes. They just keep working around that payment each month and trying to figure out how things will work month after month. If you're 62 or older, it's worth taking a real look at this. Call me. I'll take a look at your situation and tell you if it makes sense for you. 410-788-7070, 410-788-7070.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again.
And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into too tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating two of his three runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter. Bird shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking two of three from New York. After the game, manager Albernaz on the Birds complete team win.
It's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and being diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in six of his eight seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
Are you stressed because of your IRS back tax bill, the possibility of wage garnishment or property lien? Then call Priority Tax Relief now, 800-314-0045. At Priority Tax, we work directly with the IRS to protect you and your assets. Thousands of our customers have resolved for far less than their original balance. Connect to the IRS for free in minutes, 800-314-0045.
Hi, bird lovers. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Our bird food sale at Wild Birds Unlimited in Timonium and Columbia. I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Brian, and that's right. All of the foods your birds love. Tea, peanut, suet, cylinders, bark butter, mealworm, and more are on sale now. Drop by and see us at Wild Birds Unlimited Timonium and now Columbia, or shop online at mywbu.com and save while you feed the birds.
The recent changes in the law makes it more important than ever to have a safe for your cash, jewelry, and important documents. Take advice from my friend Bill and buy a safe from Crestlock.com. He no longer keeps his cash in his mattress. Crestlock.com has a showroom full of safes with fire and burg ratings. We have a full selection of gun safes too. We are located at 10015 Pulaski Highway in Middle River. Give Crestlock.com a call at 410-256-7800. We can recommend the best safe to fit your needs.
Hair Volume from New Nordic will make your hair look thick and healthy. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
To Cape Town, from Westminster to Bel Air South, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
We're just talking to Tory Snow, and we're going over his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. He believes that Governor Wes Moore's military record isn't something that Republicans should focus too much on. He's saying focusing on the fact that he hasn't accomplished anything since he's been in office is most likely the right thing to do. I disagreed with him. I know I got text messages here. I also have some phone calls on the line, so we'll get right into the conversation. I've got Julie in Crofton. Hey, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Kim. How are you today?
I'm doing well. What do you think with Wes Moore and his reelection bid? What do you think people are going to focus on?
What do I think? Number one, Kim, I can't stand a liar, okay? I come from a family who had alcoholism, and the lies went on and on and on. So I can't stand a liar, and I really cannot stand a man who stands and lies about military service when I have family members who fought for this country who are laying in their graves today, and other members of people's family who have fought, and this man stands up and lies about this. This is a total embarrassment, and he should hide his face every day.
Yeah, Julie, I want to agree. And I think, like you, I think a lot of women would pay attention to this part of it as well. I mean, it's just like a military record, where you grew up. I mean, there's just so many things where you're looking at his character, and you're thinking, wait a minute, who is this guy?
Right. I mean, my father is laying in Cheltenham, okay? It's a veteran cemetery. It's a heartbreaking place to go and think people have fought and died, many of them, for this country. And then we have some guy who thinks he's so good-looking and people are going to vote for him for looks. We have a problem here.
Yeah. No, I agree, Julie. I agree. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend.
We appreciate you. Believe me.
Well, thank you, Julie. Thank you so much. Yeah, see, I would think, and again, like I said earlier, I mean, the veterans, those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, those families of those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, I would think that this would pique their interest a bit more. But like I said, Tory Snow has been right in the past. He's been right before. I did want to read some of your text messages on this before we go back to the phone lines, because I think that's about Brandon Scott. So before we get off of this topic, I just want to read some of your messages. You know, it is a tough one. But I would think, like I said before, the unaffiliated, I think, would pay attention to the military service. Let's see. John says, Kim, well, I don't think the recent discovery of his military records are going to sway people as an individual situation. I do think the totality of all of his lies will. This is just another among many of fabrications that are being exposed, and I think that will play into his reelection. Time will tell, I guess. That was John at Baltimore. Yeah, John, I see, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking when you stack all these things up, then it starts to really weigh in, right? It's just like wait a minute. You have a thesis that got you the White House Fellowship, which thousands upon thousands of people applied for. And it supposedly shows that you are this expert in radical Islam. And yet you don't want to find that thesis for anyone to see. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Michael says, Kim, I believe he's a plant and he realizes there is more money being a Democrat politician. He was hired at the Robin Hood Foundation, which is funded by Obama and George Soros, and it did well for him. And I believe he is supposed to be their second coming of another Obama. And they chose him. Now, Michael, normally I would agree, only though. And here's the thing. I saw the video of Obama in Texas. I guess that was 2 days ago. Did you guys see those videos? So he's supporting the Senate candidates running there in Texas. One, James Tallarico. Remember, he beat Jasmine Crockett. Well, I think he believes, you know, if the nominee, obviously on the Republican side, is Ken Paxton, I think they believe in the DNC that James Tallarico would have a shot. Why? Because, again, character flaws. Because there are many people out there that are worried if Ken Paxton wins the nomination, there's a lot of skeletons in that closet. And I think the DNC believes that it's giving them the opportunity to take that seat once and for all. Now, I don't know if I could see it that way, because it is Texas, and James Tallarico is for gun control and a couple other things that many in Texas, where it's black, white, you know, Republican or Democrat, many of Texas still support the Second Amendment 100%, right? It doesn't matter at that point about party affiliation. So I don't know if they could get on board with a guy like James Tallarico. But see, they are in Texas because they think that there's a chance. They think that there is a chance for Ken Paxton to look like a very flawed man, you know, come closer to November. And I actually agree with them on that. I've heard the rumors. If any of these rumors are true, yeah, there's some major issues. Major issues. Because a lot of this stuff even happened supposedly, allegedly, while he was married to a state senator, no less, Angela Paxton. Okay, so yeah, it could get dirty. But I guess that's how I look at this whole thing with Wes Moore. You know what I mean? I think that it could get dirty. If he finally releases his military records, remember, the only military records we have to go on by right now are the records that were released by the Army. Spotlight on Maryland, these reporters, they've been trying to get the military records from Wes Moore himself. He won't turn them over, just like he won't turn over the Oxford thesis. Right? I mean, it really blew up in his face that he was not, you know, raised in Baltimore City. It's going to be tough. I got a text here from Franklin. First time texter. Hey, Franklin. Says, all you need to see is his DD-214. Was he branch qualified? Did he serve his trade? I think we know the answer to the question, how did this clown get elected in the first place? Well, I think that goes back as far as elected in the first place. I think Michael's right in thinking, I think the Maryland Dems felt like he was the next Obama coming. I don't know if the DNC did, but I think Michael's correct as far as the Maryland Dems. They looked at him and thought, oh, we can go further with this guy. And I do believe that he's had his military record and all these things. I think he's embellished all these things because he's had ambition to run for office, you know, many years ago. Many years ago. All right, Jay says, and this is Jay, first-time texter. Good morning, Jay. He says, stolen valor is a federal offense. He used this to make a financial gain and a political gain. Like they're going after Corey Mills and that guy in New York, George Santos. I think they should go after him. Jay, good point. Great point there. You know what? Corey Mills, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen there. I have no idea. But yeah, Jay, I think when it comes to military service, I think people don't take it lightly. All right. Anyways, if you have more text messages on that one, definitely send them over. I will go to the phone lines here. Don't forget the question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, and we'll go over this in the next hour at WCBM.com. Which mayor managed Baltimore City better? 70 Rawlings Blake, Captain Pugh, Brandon Scott, or Kurt Schmoke? Let's go to the phone lines. Joe in Baltimore. Joe, you wanted to talk about Mayor Scott and the Inspector General piece, yes?
I did, yeah. I want to say that I believe that your questions about where the money's going, how our tax dollars are spent, is there any fraud, is there anything that we as the taxpayers should know about, I think they're all valid questions. I think they're necessary questions. I think that if there are people taking advantage of our tax dollars and they're not going where they need to go, especially in Baltimore City, where we need as much money as we can get to go to the places where they're supposed to go, we have a lot of need. We have a lot of people who are suffering. We're not bringing in enough money anyway to do the things that we want to do. Very valid questions. And I agree with some of your questions. As a taxpayer, my priority, number one, is somebody who lived here my entire life, okay, has always been safety. And when I say safety, I'm really saying homicide murder rate. Because growing up in Baltimore as a young black man, I am the number one victim. So I've seen, okay, you know, a lot of people, y'all call in, y'all talk about Baltimore. If I really talked about the experiences that I've had in Baltimore, it would shock y'all. It really would. I mean, really, like, seeing, like death in front of you as a child. It's crazy. Okay, that's my number one priority. He has delivered on that. You don't necessarily agree that it's his responsibility. I mean, it's his doing, but that he delivered on that. But here's my question. I look at the questions with the IG, the issues with the IG, and I think to myself, what is the difference between what he's doing and what Doge did? Now, I can hear y'all through the radio right now. Oh, here you go with Trump. Oh, he got TDS. No, bro, just listen, okay? Just you know, put your bias to the side and listen for a second.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Thank you. What's the difference between him having oversight over the IG and Doge firing inspector generals throughout the government? Okay? Doge has... It's funny because you have Hannity come on through the commercial break and say, oh, those are supposed to save us $2 trillion. They didn't. They only saved us, according to them, $215 billion. Really, they only saved seven. They gave access to people who shouldn't have it. Okay. What is the difference between that and Doge? Right. And that's my question.
Yep, I'll definitely answer it as far as my opinion. People might have a difference of opinion. I think DOGE was required because I think we can all say on the federal government, federal level, clearly they were not spending our tax dollars properly. I mean, that was clear. And so we needed somebody to go in there, and they did. They found the fraud. I would say the difference, too, is, Joe, with Isabel Cumming in the Inspector General office, they've been there for 8 years. They have done a fantastic job. As far as I know, she hasn't had any discrepancies, or she hasn't gotten it wrong this entire 8 years. So why is it now different because she's looking into the mayor's office? And remember, this is due to a letter from a whistleblower. It wasn't like she just kind of picked up the books and started searching, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So if Isabel Cummings is doing such a good job for 8 years and she hasn't had any issues, right, why fire the 17, 18 IGs throughout the government? They haven't had any issues either. But yet they fired them and they brought in an oversight committee.
I think they made a pretty good case when they showed, you know, things that were going to, like in U.S. aid or AID. Remember, they were showing all this money going to different countries for, like, you know, LGBT programs, things like that. So I think they were making a pretty good case, you know, even before DOGE. Senator Ron Paul, every year he puts out, like, this grievances list during the holiday season. And it was the year prior to that where we could see that there was a lot of money going to special interest groups and their projects in other countries. And at that time, you know, if you recall, that's when President Trump kind of took the torch and put it on his platform saying, oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to have a team that gets to the bottom of this. And so that's when people, excuse me, I think really started looking at it.
I mean, I would think that's genuine, Kim, if, first of all, some of those programs that they gutted were to help people who were suffering from, you know, disease, illness, from hunger. Like, some of those programs were necessary for the survival of people in other countries.
Some of it was cut due to mismanagement, right? I mean, we see this in the Baltimore City school system. I mean, you know, a lot of that money is supposed to go to the kids and their projects and what their, you know, the programs for the kids. But we see a lot of the administrators taking that money with their high salaries. And I think with those programs, they were kind of outlining, I think Marco Rubio had a committee hearing about it. They were outlining basically that money wasn't really going to those causes or research. It was really going to administrative costs.
So that's a really good point. And I do think that there needs to be some accountability. I'm going to be honest with you. I have some inside information in Baltimore that there is some stuff going on. And I'm not about to disseminate that to you. But anyway, okay. But those can only make recommendations, okay? They can only say, hey, you should cut here, you should cut there. We disagree about what they should cut. However, now when you take that, you extrapolate that, all right, now, who spends the money? Okay, it's the government that spends the money. When you're spending money, why didn't they gut the Department of Defense? Why didn't they, right now, okay, for example, this ballroom, I hate to bring this up, but this ballroom is costing us. They're trying to propose a bill, $1 billion for a ballroom that should have cost $200 that we weren't supposed to pay for. It didn't cost $400. Now it's supposed to cost us $400, $1 billion. Why are we spending money on a ballroom that we don't want and can't use?
Well, a lot of the money is for donors, and that ballroom's not going to go when Trump goes. I guess it would be the same question as far as Mayor Scott's SUV with all the bells and whistles. His response is, oh, well, you know, I'm not taking that SUV with me when I go. It'll be here for the next mayor. Same thing with the ballroom.
Okay. Wow. Great point. Thank you for that. Now, let's look at how much money we're spending locally and then federally. Okay. Why should I, as a voter, hyper focus on where my local taxes are spent and then not focus on where my federal taxes are spent when I don't want either one?
I agree. That's why we had DOGE.
Okay, DOGE, first off, DOGE is disbanded.
Right, because people kept complaining about it. They had the riots at the Tesla dealerships, so they shut it down. Yeah. You had Democrats protesting. They were, you know, they were everywhere.
You know, Elon, you don't think Elon had nothing to do with that and the high schoolers that he hired?
I think they did a fantastic job. Let's just say, I got to go here, I got to jump in a minute, Joe, but just think about it. Mm-hmm. Since DOGE occurred and those people were laid off in the government, which program or which government resource hasn't anybody been able to utilize since the firings? The government's still running as it always has.
If they actually saved as much money as they said they saved, where is it?
I think they do fiscal year, budgeting. It's not done the same year. President Trump has only been there since November of 2024. So I would say we probably would have to take some time to look and see how much. Am I saying it's a huge deal? No. Do I wish the Democrats and people wouldn't have protested so it could continue? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I will say, Joe, since those people were fired, no one has complained about losing any resources.
But we've spent a lot of money, Kim, a lot of money this year. Where is it going? Billions of dollars are missing. Where is it? Why are we spending money? Like, I thought conservatives were supposed to be conservative about money. We're spending money like somebody else's credit card. This is crazy.
Yeah.
We're definitely doing that
in the state of Maryland at alarming rates. Joe, I appreciate the conversation, but I would say that, I understand your case here. I just don't think I don't know if it's a good case. That's what I'll say.
Okay, Ken. Well, we disagree on that.
All right. I hope you have a great weekend, Joe.
You too.
All right. For me, I just disagree. I mean, look, I'm not saying the federal government is soundproof. I've talked on the show many times that I don't even like the pace in which the Republican is moving on Capitol Hill. That's upsetting. All right. I mean, we should have voter ID already. But here we are. But when it comes to what DOGE was trying to accomplish, because they were doxing a lot of those high school students, those young kids that were working for Elon, right? Their information was out there. People were showing up at their parents' house. The one kid, remember, he was just walking down the street, got beat up. I mean, like, the whole thing was a disaster, unfortunately. And so, when we get back, we can wrap up this conversation. But I feel as though, when you're looking at the inspector general, what she's trying to accomplish, that was a whistleblower that came forward. That was somebody inside the mayor's office that said, hey, you got to take a look at this. I think that we should treat that a little differently. All right. If you're looking to upgrade your home, don't forget you can visit Town Appliances in Owings Mills. Their showroom is massive, featuring over 70 top brands, everything from basics to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JetAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag. Whenever I stop in and see my friends, Mayor, they make the experience wonderful. They are so knowledgeable and truly happy to help you find exactly what you need. Plus, right now, they've got their big Spring Black Friday shopping event. So you got to go down to Town Appliance. You can also take advantage of their flexible financing options and turn those dream appliances into reality. Now, they are open Sunday through Friday in Owings Mills. And if you want to check out their website, you can. It's townappliance.com.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
The excitement of Orioles season is here. Get updates, info, and commentary from Stan the Fan Charles, Glenn Clark, and others at PressBoxOnline.com.
Fired up, baby! We're fired up!
PressBox Sports, your source for Orioles, Ravens, college, and high school sports. Go to PressBoxOnline.com today. Previously on Casey and Company.
This man offers no solutions, but somebody's pulling the strings for this dude because he just has no answers whatsoever until somebody gives him a solution or an answer. But if you're going to be quick to criticize the federal government, and yes, they're fair for criticism, especially in Washington, then I think he should at least offer some kind of solution instead of constantly chirping, criticizing ICE agents.
Start your morning with Maryland's Wake Up Call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, Marty in the text line, he agrees with Tory. He says, yeah, Republicans need to focus on policy and the fact that he has been out of state campaigning while Marylanders suffer. We got another text here from Obi. He says the governor's character flaw is he can't answer tough questions. He is MIA most of the time, and he cherry picks his reporters. Yeah, there's a lot to choose from, for sure, when it comes to Governor Westmore. There's no shortage there. I did want to just mention, because I mentioned it earlier, and of course we talked about it yesterday, Ed Hale Sr. did pick up another endorsement as we're talking about Westmore and his record, his character flaws. Ed Hale Sr. was just endorsed by Councilman David Marks. He's actually my councilman over there in Baltimore County. It's so weird, too, because, of course, it's like there's like the cutoff is one block away, and then I would have a different councilman. The way these districts are drawn is, yeah, it's so funny. Anyways, David Marks has endorsed Ed Hale Sr. And don't forget, Sean Casey will have Ed Hale Sr., Dan Cox, and John Myrick on his show in the coming weeks. So make sure you tune in to Casey and Company. All right. Also, just want to kind of note here, because, of course, we were talking about President Trump and the different things that he's doing. Real quick, they did note that we have the highest inflation right now in 3 years. And I just want to put that in perspective. It's still higher. It was still higher under Joe Biden. Okay, so I know it feels, you know, really awful. Trust me, I look at the gas prices and all I can think is, this is insane. And it is. It's tough. But I guess at the end of the day, hopefully, they can come up with a deal and so that we can finally stop Iran in their tracks. And it's not even the Iranian people. I think we could all agree on that. It's those that are in this, you know, in these leadership positions. And we'll see what happens. And I will also say, and we do have some audio with Marco Rubio sitting down with Sean Hannity. I'm going to play for you in the next hour. But I would also say, you know, beyond the whole issue in Iran, I would think that this also helps with migration, right? I mean, we've got a lot of migrants that do come here from places like Iran, right? They now are talking about going to Cuba, and we have a lot of Cubans that come to America, and a lot of these people love their countries and where, you know, they live. They just don't want to be under some of these regimes, right? They want to live a normal, free life. Just think what could happen for those Iranian people, especially the women, if they could come up with a deal and get rid of these regimes that are just fine with taking the lives of their people. All right, coming up next, I did want to talk a little bit about the arrests made, Peeping Toms in Towson. Yes, two more have been caught. Stay right there.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft, but that's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes in your financial accounts, they'll alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that can make all the difference. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code BECK, LifeLock.com, 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK at LifeLock.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She could get a deal, but telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress.
That one little app does all the rest.
Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. America's top diplomat says it would be a terrible mistake for China to try to take Taiwan by force. Secretary of State Rubio, part of the U.S. delegation to Beijing, says America's position on the self-governing island democracy has not changed. Following the first meeting of their summit, it ran for a couple of hours. President Trump and Chinese President Xi attended a state dinner. Earlier, his Chinese hosts rolled out the red carpet for Mr. Trump, who had warm words for his Chinese counterpart.
You and I have known each other now for a long time. In fact, the longest relationship of our two countries that any president and president has had, and it's to me an honor.
The White House says Presidents Trump and Xi had a good meeting talking about enhancing economic cooperation, although Xi did have a warning of a potential clash between the U.S. and China over Taiwan. Some good news for the only American who tested positive for hantavirus.
A doctor on the ship who helped care for passengers with hantavirus has left a medical isolation unit. The oncologist, Dr. Stephen Kornfeld from Oregon, was traveling on the cruise ship at the center of a hantavirus outbreak and has been cleared to leave a special biocontainment unit in Nebraska. Dr. Kornfeld was the only American placed in isolation after he helped care for fellow passengers who became sick on board. He was among more than 120 passengers and crew evacuated from the ship and flown to different countries to enter quarantine. I'm Karen Shamas.
The British military reports the seizure of a ship that was anchored south of the Strait of Hormuz. There is no word on who commandeered the vessel, although it is sailing in the direction of Iran. Wall Street, the Dow is up 385 points, the NASDAQ 204 points higher. More on these stories, townhall.com.
There's a moment nobody talks about with weight loss. It's the moment it stops working. The diet that worked before doesn't. Eating less stops moving the scale. That's not random. When your body's under stress, it slows your metabolism. That's why quick fixes eventually fail. At PHC Weight Loss, they focus on restoring your metabolism. And right now, when you call and mention Mike G, you'll get 2 free weeks and they'll pay for the cost of your food. Call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Fox 45 reports that BGE customers are expected to see some relief on their natural gas bills after the utility helped secure nearly $500,000 in savings through a federal rate case settlement. The savings stem from a multi-year dispute over proposed increases in interstate natural gas transportation costs, expenses that directly affect the supply portion of customer bills. BGE, along with its parent company Exelon and sister utilities Delmarva Power and PECO, intervened in the case, ultimately helping to reduce cost and prevent additional charges. In total, across three natural gas utilities, Exelon will return more than $13 million to customers through refunds and lower long-term rates. The companies also say their efforts helped avoid more than $12 million per year in potential new costs. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
This is Pastor David Lewis with today's Moment of Truth. What is hypocrisy? How about telling your kids it's wrong to steal and then photocopying personal material on your office's copy machine? Or complaining about the government and not voting? Hypocrisy is saying that Black Lives Matter and then remaining strangely silent over the fact that there are more abortions among blacks in New York City than there are live births. Let me tell you, there's plenty of hypocrisy in a Christian church today, too. There are too many church leaders wanting to look holy at the expense of being holy. The problem with many Christians today of all stripes is that they're quick to say they follow Jesus, but slow to live by his standards. As Christians, we're to judge everything against the Word of God, which is a reflection of his character and nature. Our first priority and ultimate calling is to preach the gospel, because too many people are dying today and going off into a godless eternity. As believers in Christ's finished work on the cross, we should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. This is Pastor Dave Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again. And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a good ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into too tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall. Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating two of his three runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter
Birds shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking 2 of 3 from New York. After the game, manager Albernez on the Birds' complete team win.
It's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and being diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in 6 of his 8 seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
WCBM News Time, 11:07. Here's a look at the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, staying mostly cloudy, breezy, and cooler with temperatures in the low to mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tonight and a little chilly as temperatures fall back into the upper 40s. Sun is back on Friday with highs in the low 70s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
57 degrees in Falston, 58 in Stevensville, and 58 in White Marsh. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, all right. Good morning. Happy Thursday. If you're joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? We spoke to Tori Stowe at 10 o'clock, and I'm surprised. I thought it was going to be a spicy conversation. But Tori Stowe, he says, look, Governor Westmore is a flawed man. There's no doubt about that. But he believes, you know, talking about his policies, talking about his failures over the last 4 years is probably a better conversation for Republicans instead of focusing so much on the military record and the gaps in the military record. And I disagreed a bit. I still disagree a bit. But you know what? Maybe he has a point. I guess we'll have to see what happens. We were also talking about Mayor Brandon Scott and how he wants oversight over the oversight. That's right. He wants an outside agency to look over the shoulder of the Inspector General, Isabel Cumming. Now, he is proposing this legislation. It still has to pass City Council. All right. But he's proposing this legislation at the same time that Isabel Cumming has a lawsuit in place against the mayor in order to receive access to documents that are sitting in the office that the mayor created back in 2020, the mayor's office of neighborhood safety and engagement. Also keep that in mind. Brandon Scott created this office. Okay, so this isn't like an office that rolled over and had some of the same staff or, you know, has been transparent in the past with other mayors. This has only been operational since Brandon Scott, became the mayor in 2020. So who knows what kind of skeletons are in that closet? We don't know. I think we should know. And if a whistleblower, like in this case, has come forward and said that someone needs to investigate, I think that should be done. At the end of the day, Mayor Scott, it looks very suspicious that you just don't hand this documentation over to the Inspector General. And I will also say this, because he's trying to say that he's hiding information that has to do with minors. The whistleblower apparently knows about this, you know, whether it's fraud, waste, or abuse, or, you know, simple corruption. That whistleblower, I would assume, knows what that redacted information says. And I would assume that that whistleblower has already told the Inspector General a lot of what is redacted, right? I mean, because that's why she took this case on, right? So, I mean, does she really not know? I mean, I guess, you know, she has to have it. It's got to be in her hands. It's got to be tangible for her to continue with this investigation and get down to the nitty-gritty. But I would assume that she knows a lot about what was redacted. That's why she started the investigation to begin with. So I don't know what he's trying to protect. I don't think anybody really truly knows. But we'll continue to wait and see. I did want to read this text message because I thought it was great. Before the break, Joe and I, we did have a conversation, Joe from B-More. And he did weigh in on the IG, and he said that he agrees that there should be transparency. But he also thought that with Doge on the federal level, that it was a very similar situation, right, with the oversight over the oversight. But Alex, I thought you brought up a great point here in the text line. It says, hey, Kim, to follow up on your conversation with Joe, While Doge only saved about $200 billion, the real impact Doge made was create an American culture interested in combating egregious waste, fraud, and abuse all over the country. You now have these citizen journalists investigating fraud in their own communities with the daycare centers, the hospices, the autism centers, because of the information and the inspiration provided by Doge. Alex says, this is a big win for the U.S., in my opinion. Now, that's a great point, Alex. That is a great point. And Nick Shirley, who, oddly enough, right now is being attacked by Candace Owens. Did you see this? She thinks that he's too young to possibly get to the bottom of this fraud. Why is she so weird? That should be a question of the day one day. Like, what is the issue? What is the problem? Anyways, I think Nick Shirley did do a great job. That's why they've opened up this investigation. I guess J.D. Vance is overseeing a lot of it when it comes to the fraud in Minnesota. And that is why now you've got Governor Tim Walz not running for re-election, because of what Nick Shirley has discovered thus far. And he's saying it's the tip of the iceberg. So, Alex, I would agree with your assessment on that. I did want to just note to you guys, because, you know, I was all up in arms, and I still am. I'm still very upset about this whole Peeping Tom thing in Towson. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, it's now being investigated. But let's be very clear. Can we be clear about this? The only reason this is getting attention and there are arrests being made on these Peeping Toms is because Fox 45 is shining light on it. Let's be very clear on what's happening here. The young lady, I guess her name is Chloe, not going to say her last name. I know she doesn't seem to be, you know, afraid of putting herself out there. I just worry, you know, as a mother. But she has come forward and she did these interviews with Fox 45, and she said that she has told many people about this. And they kind of just shrugged their shoulders. And so now that everybody's talking about it, see, this is why you get very passionate about these things and you go over it and over it, because then you do get some action. But this Peeping Tom issue has been going on since September of last year. Here it is at the end of the school year, and I don't know if those girls live at the apartment complex full time or it's just during the school year, but here it is at the end of the school year. You know, we're in the middle of May, and they're just now making arrests. They had these guys' faces already on Ring cameras. Why did they put the footage out there? It really is upsetting, okay, when you sit back and think about it. And I don't know these girls. Obviously, I don't know what their, you know, parental situation is. I don't know, you know, where their families are, what have you. But my word, I just can't imagine that they have parents that are close by that thought, oh, well, just shut your blinds. I can't imagine they have parents like that. I can't imagine it. Well, anyway, some arrests have been made. The one guy that looked directly into the Ring camera has finally been caught. I want you guys to take a listen to this audio. We'll talk about it on the other side.
It means safety, feeling safe in my own home.
21-year-old Chloe White hasn't felt that sense of safety since September. That's when she had to start reporting men looking into her Towson windows.
Thank God there's camera footage.
White is far from alone in experiencing these Peeping Toms. She and neighbors at Donnybrook Apartments have reported multiple older men peering in their homes and even filming.
I've lost count. I don't know how many there have been at this point, how many men we have on footage, how many times the cops have come to Donnybrook because of a call.
Police recently arrested 55-year-old Andre Robinson, who they say was caught using a stepladder to peep into windows in the Rogers Forge area. Robinson denies the allegations, and now police have identified two more suspects. 56-year-old Daniel Sell and 53-year-old Johnny Wade Jr., both ordered to appear in court.
To hear that they've, like, named them and they're out in the open and now everyone and anyone who knows them knows what they're wanted for, it's different.
Both men appear to have criminal histories. We've even acquired these charging documents that date back to 2019. When a man with the same name and date of birth as Sell was charged with visual surveillance in a private area in Harford County. According to the report, Sell used his cell phone, quote, holding it under the dress of someone at a Target in Bel Air. We've also confirmed he was found guilty of burglary and theft going back to the 90s, among other charges. While a record search reveals Wade also has a criminal history.
I think that if there are other young people in our position where they feel like they're powerless, something seemingly small keeps happening, but it could easily escalate, or even maybe it's already escalated and things aren't getting better, just to like take the initiative and realize that you have a voice.
Police say they'll continue to work closely with Towson University. Both Sell and Wade have a court date on July 6th. In Baltimore County, I'm Tommy Clark, TV 11 News.
Now, that's Tommy Clark. I do want to correct the record. If I apologize, I don't know who had the story first. Was it Fox 45 or was it Channel 11? I don't know, but that's Tommy Clark with Channel 11, okay? So I want to make sure we give credit where it's supposed to be going. But at the same time, what in the world? I have to ask, Baltimore County Police Department, you had the Ring camera footage. You had this guy looking directly into the camera. It is very clear who this man is. Why did you not release it? I got to know the answer to this. Why did you release this so the public could see it and that they could then identify this individual? Look, I understand there were some people you couldn't see very well. I still am in the belief that all of these people are showing up to this particular window because somebody put it out there with this address. Okay, that is why I believe that there are so many different guys showing up. But my word, why didn't we know about this when Chloe and her roommates went to the police prior? They spent the whole school year worried about some guy standing outside their window? This is unacceptable. I'm sorry. You know how much I love the police. But why didn't you do anything with this information? We would have been all over it for you. I'm going to go to the phone lines here. This one's about Peeping Toms. Steve in Reisterstown. Hey, Steve, you want to weigh in on the Peeping Toms?
Yeah, just I know that it's a very, very bad crime, but can we apply exactly how you spoke the last 5 minutes and apply it to the underage 16-year-old youth that are beating up people and carjacking and display the parents of those kids on TV?
That would be great. I would love every second of that, Steve. I told you, I want them on billboards.
Yes. I mean, every time, just make a list. Here, this is the parents of these kids that have done 16 crimes in 3 months. And I know the Peeping, I'm not taking away from the Peeping Tom, the creepiness. They're both horrible. But let's start exposing some of this stuff. Anyhow, that's my soapbox.
No, I agree with you. Thank you so much, Steve. Hope you have a great weekend. Thank you. No, I agree with you. I would love to show the parents' faces as well. Your kids out here, you know, carjacking people, robbing them at gunpoint. But the Peeping Tom issue, I just want to say, first and foremost, I'm glad the reporters that have been on top of this, thank you so much. I'm glad that there's some relief here, because remember, they were just announcing two arrests, and then they had arrested another guy who had the stepladder that said that he was dumpster diving. I really would love to know where this is posted, right? This girl's address, she has said already, her name is Chloe, she has said that there was one night where an individual, she saw him recording with a cell phone. Video of her, and she woke up out of her sleep, saw him in the window, and he was recording her laying there. Now, apparently she was, I don't know if it was hot in her room or what have you, but she had very little clothing on. Of course, she wakes up very frightened, as she should be, and then contacted police. But she believes that video, that specific video, is online somewhere with her address. And this is, again, if this is true, number one, I want it to be found. obviously it deleted, and you know, people that shared it should be held accountable. But number two, is there possibly an underground website or some kind of world for peeping toms where this is going on? Because I would think that this could open up a whole can of worms if you really got to the bottom of it. I'm sure that this isn't the only address these peeping toms are showing up to. Okay? And if that's the case, what we need to do is we need to make sure we get to the bottom of it and hold these people accountable. We can't fail these young women. And here are young girls with their whole lives ahead of them. They're in college trying to do the right thing, stay on the right path. We're not talking about a bunch of girls that decided to open up accounts on OnlyFans. We're talking about college students. Well, the OnlyFans girls should be protected too. Okay, I just want to make sure we say that. But these are young girls, impressionable, vulnerable girls that are hoping to have great careers. If there are pictures and videos of them online and they go run for office or they go, you know, different, you know, industries, those pictures and videos could resurface. I just hope that we're keeping all this in mind, I guess is my point. And as a mom, it's so frightening to think about. All right, we get back. We'll continue this conversation. I know I have some callers on the line. I want to talk about a couple of the other topics. We'll get back to that real quick. On the line with me, I have my good friend JB the Ouch Guy from Platinum Law Group on the phone. Good morning, JB. So Saturday is the Preakness. Are you planning to make an appearance?
Oh, you know, so I usually go to, first of all, good morning. I usually go to Black Eyed Susan Day. I find that more enjoyable. But because it's in Laurel, I'm not going to make it tomorrow for that. So, but next year, I look forward to, you know, going to Preakness and Black Eyed Susan next year.
Yeah, I heard tickets, you know, it was so limited because Laurel Park is so much smaller.
Yeah.
I heard it was
Yeah,
it's like the Willy Wonka ticket right now. It's like the golden ticket to be able to get over there. So, JB, of course, I got a question for you today, which I know our listeners will be very interested to know as well. What would you say is your success rate in obtaining favorable settlements or verdicts? Are there an average time these trials usually take to settle, or what's up with that?
Ooh. So that is a good question. It's a little bit of a skewed number. So like 90%, maybe even more, of our cases get a favorable outcome, either a settlement or a judgment. But that's overall. I've become, in the, you know, the years and years that I've been doing this, I've become very good at, you know, limiting which cases I take. And so I no case is too big, no case is too small. But if I, you know, I'll be upfront with you or whoever's calling, and I'll say, look, I don't think we're going to win this case. And I'm pretty good at weeding out the cases that are not going to win. So I have a really, really good success rate only because I'm really good at weeding out the unsuccessful cases, if that makes sense.
That makes absolute sense. I had a defamation case. I wish the lawyers would have told me that up front. I wish they would have told me, Kim, you're a public figure. We can't figure this out. But we went to court anyway. Well, JB, right. Knowing your success rate can make a huge difference when somebody's a good lawyer. Before I let you go, if you could please just give our listeners your contact information so they can easily contact you.
Absolutely. It's very easy. 877-OUCH-911. It's easy to remember. Ouch. 877-OUCH-911. Or go to ouchguy.com. 24/7, we'll answer the call.
JB, the Ouch Guy, Platinum Law Group. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
It was 1982. Kim Klasick came into the world. Man, you should hear how my daughter talks about my age. You know, when you say 19 something, like if you were born in 19 something, the kids will look at you. Their eyes will like pop out of their heads. 19, right? They're thinking you were born before Christ or something when you say that. Oh, my daughter kills me talking about my age. You know, I'm one of the older moms, right? I had her at 34. So I'm an older mom at her school, and she'll be telling people this all the time. She's like, yeah, so I told Owen, you know, her mom, his mom, you know, I told her we could all have a play date and da-da-da-da-da. And then she'll say, and I told them up front, well, you know, my mom is 44. So, and I'm like, what does that matter on your play date? What does that even matter? These kids today, I tell you, your worst enemy will be your own, I'm telling you. All right, we're talking about many topics today, and I appreciate you guys all tuning in to Kim Klasick Live every Monday through Friday. Of course, we were talking about Brandon Scott and the Inspector General. He's proposing legislation to basically stop her and her search to getting to the bottom of Monzi. I've got Gene in Baltimore. Gene, did you want to weigh in?
Yes, ma'am. I'm thinking that if he wants to have somebody looking over Isabel Cummings' shoulder, is it going to be an all black organization so he cannot yell racism or
Gene, he's and that's probably part of the proposal, right? It's like, you know, because he said oh well, she shared this podcast video and he felt that it was racist, meanwhile the person that made the video was black, but because she shared it and he didn't like it, it was racist. That's a great point, Gene. You know, that's coming, the whole race aspect.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just want to say, Kim, please keep your passion for what you're doing. And don't let nobody beat on you and, you know, just take that away from you. Because you got more friends out here than you know.
Well, I appreciate that, Gene. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. And shout out to Scooby-Doo.
Yep. Scooby-Doo. Yes, he's something else. Thank you, Gene. Yeah. I wonder what Olivia's going to be for Halloween this year. She's been doing that with the jumpsuits because they're so easy. She just puts the jumpsuit on and then she goes. And, you know, the main part about obviously Halloween for kids is collecting candy. So she likes the easy costumes. I've got Keith in Rosedale. Keith, well, I was talking to Joe earlier about Doge. You wanted to weigh in?
Yes. Good morning, Kim.
Morning.
Yeah. I wish that Joe, when he does come on your show, would start coming with some verifiable facts and numbers. Because he was talking about the ballroom, saying it was going to cost $1 billion, and that is not true. He needs to start getting his information from places other than the internet and from what I call the lamestream media. When this ballroom was first announced, before the lamestream media went off saying that Trump was going to be spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a ballroom. No. Trump is not spending a penny in taxpayer dollars. When he first announced this ballroom, he said that he had it fully funded by corporate donors. And the price is not going to be $1 billion. It's going to be a little bit under $400 million. And not one penny of that is taxpayer dollars. And then in a related story, just recently, the reflecting pool in Washington, which Barack Obama in 2015 tried to push something through that it was said it was going to take 3 years and $300 million to clean the reflecting pool. Well, isn't it funny that President Donald J. Trump just recently got the entire job completed in 2 weeks for less than $3 million. Where was that $300 million going to go that the Democrats wanted to clean the reflecting pool?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of great points there, Keith. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I think Joe was referring to some of the questions that Rand Paul had about the funding for the ballroom. So much more coming up next. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump calls the first meeting of his summit with Chinese President Xi extremely positive and productive. Xi stresses the need for U.S.-China cooperation, although the Chinese leader warned of a possible showdown between China and the U.S. over Taiwan. Big part of the summit focuses on economics. China seeks a loosening of trade restrictions. The U.S. is hoping to make trade deals. Retail sales rose last month, up 0.5%, according to the Commerce Department. It was a slowdown from the red-hot rate of 1.6% in March. That was the largest one-month increase in retail spending in more than 3 years. On Wall Street this morning, stocks solidly higher. The Dow is up about 379 points, a gain of almost 1%. The NASDAQ ahead 271 points. The S&P is up 63. More details at srnnews.com.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big win for the O's yesterday as Adley Rutschman delivers again.
And a fly ball here to deep right field. Jones. And it's a good ball. Hits his glove and then hits the top of the wall. It is ruled a home run by the first base umpire, Chris Guccione. Spencer Jones may have turned into too tall Jones there as he knocked that ball over the wall.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson, Rutschman's sixth of the year, plating two of his three runs driven in on the day, and Kyle Bradish and the bullpen made it stand, throwing a one-hitter. Byrd shut out the Yanks at Camden Yards, 7-0 the final, taking two of three from New York. After the game, manager Albernaz on the Byrds' complete team win.
That's what we're capable of. We've shown it. No, we showed we could play a game like this. And so for our guys, it's just anchoring to it, being consistent with it, and being diligent with our work.
O's injury news. The Birds did indeed place Dylan Beavers on the IL with an oblique strain. He'll be out at least 10 days. The catcher, Maverick Hanley, was recalled. NFL with their full schedule reveal tonight, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Meanwhile, three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Troy Aikman was on the ESPN morning show called Get Up with Mike Greenberg the other day and was asked what the hiring of Jesse Minter means to Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
You are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had. Now the coach leaves. You got a young coach, first-time coach coming in. That puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback, so the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him.
Lamar has made the playoffs in six of his eight seasons under center, advancing to the AFC Championship game, however, only once. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast, staying mostly cloudy, breezy, and cooler with temperatures in the low to mid-60s. Clouds stick around tonight and temperatures fall into the sort of chilly upper 40s. Sun is back on Friday and temperatures will start to warm back up. Low 70s on Friday. Heading into the weekend, warm-up really gets underway with highs in the low 80s Saturday, near 90 by Sunday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best Eggs. They're just so delicious. With better nutrition, for us it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
From the home of the Ravens, the Orioles, and the Star-Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
we'll talk about today. Good morning. Happy Thursday. And Keith, thank you so much for calling in as well. I think what Joe was referring to, and this dropped yesterday. This is ABC News. ABC News has obtained a one-package breakdown of how the White House says it intends to spend the $1 billion that some Republicans want to approve for Donald Trump's East Wing renovation to the White House, which includes the construction of Trump's massive ballroom. Okay, the document, which was provided without elaboration, was presented by the U.S. Secret Service Director Sean Curran to Senate Republicans during a luncheon on Tuesday. So then they got a breakdown of some of the things with it. So some of the money from the ballroom, I guess they want to come from the reconciliation package through the Senate, and a lot of that has to do with some of the security, and a lot of this was added because of the assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I think that's what Joe was referring to. Joe, if I'm wrong, of course, text me the text line and let me know. But I think that there's been some movement on this. I know Senator Rand Paul has made a couple statements about it. And yes, you've got the private donations, but I guess some of it, when it comes to the Secret Service and the security surrounding it, they wanted that to come from the reconciliation bill in the Senate. And I think that's what Joe was referring to. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I'm sure he'll text me the text line. Speaking of this administration, I don't know if you guys saw it, but last night, Sean Hannity on Fox News had a huge special where he was sitting down with Marco Rubio on his flight to China. I don't want to say too much because I know there's a lot of J.D. Vance fans on, you know, listening on the air here. But I will say that if you're really watching, you can see where this administration is definitely elevating Marco Rubio. And J.D. Vance, I don't know even what he's doing today. And I don't expect him to be on Air Force One, especially with the attempts on Trump's life and people's lives in the administration. And you know what? I just thought about, Brian, the producer. We never received any more information about the shooter that approached J.D. Vance's motorcade. Remember that happened? And a kid was shot by a stray bullet in D.C.? You know what? We never got an update on that. I got to search for that now. But yeah, I don't expect Trump and J.D. Vance to be together at all at this point. It's that bad. But anyways, Hannity sitting down with Marco Rubio. Take a listen.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio, here we are on board Air Force One. We're headed to China. These meetings are very critical. I mean, my first question, do you view China as our top geopolitical foe?
Yeah, it's both our top political challenge geopolitically, and it's also the most important relationship for us to manage. I mean, it's a big, powerful country. It's going to continue to grow. But we're going to have interests of ours that are going to be in conflict with interests of theirs. And to avoid wars and maintain peace and stability in the world, we're going to have to manage those. There are clearly areas where they're so important for the United States that we're going to have to raise those issues, and we'll continue to do so. The president's going to continue to do so. There might be some areas of cooperation, too, and we want to make sure we don't walk away from those.
You know, it's interesting. The one thing the president always says, he's America first. He understands President Xi is going to be China first. Putin will be Russia first. I think having that understanding is a little bit unique, yeah, historically speaking, as if we should be surprised that they put their country above ours.
Actually, foreign policy and national security matters work best when you understand that point. Every country should do what's in the best interest of their country. And then where there are areas of alignment, where what's in our best interest and their best interest are aligned, that's where you have cooperation. That's where you have alliances. That's where you have strong bonds of friendship. When there's conflict, that's between what they want and what we want. That's where the work of diplomacy and these personal relationships between the leaders are so critical. And there are times when some of those issues of conflict are irreconcilable. I think Iran is an example of that. The clerical regime wants to have a nuclear weapon, and the world, led by President Trump, says that's completely impossible, cannot happen. So, unfortunately, there's some areas like that where it comes up. But there are areas where, if we can find areas of commonality, that's very powerful and important. But we will have to manage these bilateral differences because they're very significant. And when it's two big, powerful countries, you know, that falling apart could have tremendous significance on the global economy and on global peace.
All right. So that interview was about 15 to 17 minutes long. Of course, it's everywhere. You can check it out on YouTube if you like. That was about the first 2 minutes of it. But I think Marco Rubio really is showing that he has the chops to be in the Oval Office. I'm not saying that J.D. Vance does not have the chops. I'm just saying it seems to me, even some of the posts coming out of the White House, there's been some videos posted of Marco Rubio, you know, basically presidential, whether it's speeches, questions that he's answered from reporters. It just seems to me that they're starting to choose a side. I don't know if you guys see it, but it seems to me that they are starting to choose their favorite candidate. So anyways, we'll see what comes of this trip to China. As many people pointed out, even yesterday in the text line, I think it was Doug, I think you texted over, President Trump was welcomed by many on a red carpet. And people were, of course, comparing that to Obama's welcome long ago. Long ago, and they weren't really rolling out the red carpet for Obama. But I would expect them to. I mean, it's China. You know what I mean? Like, I would expect them to. And no, it's not a race thing. You know, at that time, if you recall, we've talked about this before. President Obama was, like, on this tour to push the LGBTQ agenda. And there were many countries, China, Nigeria, so many of them, that did not want him to come to town, basically pushing that ideology. And so I don't think they were so welcoming of Obama because of why he was there. Trump is there to hopefully bring more peace to the Middle East. I think it's a totally different dynamic. And obviously China is, you know, they do a lot of business through the Strait of Hormuz. And if anybody wants to see, you know, some kind of deal made soon, I'm sure China is also one of those countries. So we'll keep our eye on it. Also, got a little bit of gossip here, just a little bit of gossip, because it was, look, this was a huge story at one point in time. You might recall where Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France, she slapped the French President, Emmanuel Macron, as he was getting off of what they considered their Air Force One. And they were flying to a different country. The doors opened. Brian, the producer, do you remember this? Where, like, all you saw was Brigitte's hand, like, with the smoosh hand. And, like, and then you see Emmanuel Macron, he looks forward, and he realizes the door was open, and the cameras were there. Everybody's looking right at them. The flight attendant looked horrified as, you know, she was coming down the stairs. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is awful. Well, anyways, according to Brigitte Macron's latest book, the French president was slapped over a flirty text and relationship with Iranian actress. All right. So it says here, and this is in the New York Post if you care. French President Emmanuel Macron was slapped by his wife during a foreign trip last year after she found a steamy message from a younger actress on his phone. All right. Now, this is according to claims in her new book. Brigitte Macron's viral attack on her husband, which caught on camera, was a result of steamy messages allegedly sent between her former student, 48-year-old, an Iranian-born, gosh, I'm going to mess it up, but I'll say Farhani is her last name. And she says that the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, writes this to her in a text message. Now, this is supposed to be a steamy message. Brian, the producer, let me know if this sounds steamy to you. I find you very pretty. I don't. Maybe things are different in France. He says, I find you very pretty. And Farhani, who is known to be a staunch critic of the regime in Tehran, allegedly kept up a quote-unquote platonic relationship with Macron for several months, and Brigitte apparently had no idea about this. Now, that's a problem. That's a problem. Brigitte had no idea about this. Of course, this led to tensions within the couple, which resulted in this private scene becoming very public. And moments before the slap, Brigitte Macron was 73 years old? I know a lot of people give her a lot of hard times for her looks. For 73, she doesn't look bad. She's 73. Anyways, Brigitte had read a message from Farhani to her husband's phone at that very moment. So I guess Farhani was texting him as they were about to get off the flight. Now, Brigitte said she was very hurt by the contents of the message. So I guess we don't know how steamy things got. But she said that Emmanuel Macron definitely said to her, "I find you very pretty." Now, of course, they're posting all these pictures of this young actress, and she is very pretty. Very pretty Iranian, I would think, Persian. And so that is why the slap we saw occurred. Now, the actress has said something, in regards. She said she long denied the rumors of any relationship with President Macron. But apparently those rumors have been floating around for over a year. So when Brigitte saw the messages, she crashed out on him, I guess. Yeah. Look, I can understand it. I can understand it. And what is it the text said? What is it? And Candace Owens has confirmed. She has confirmed the rumors. You know what? Somebody said that her podcast did talk about it yesterday. I actually don't watch her podcast, but I'm sure she did. Because even when that slap happened, and I mean, I expect her to. It was a big story. It was a big story, and she's obviously in a lawsuit with them. So I expect it. I just don't watch her podcast because it's like the whole premise of it, the whole thing is based on negativity and hate. Right. She makes podcast episodes about people she doesn't like and she wants to ruin their reputation. So she'll talk about Erica Kirk and others, but she does it to be mean. Like, does she have any podcasts where she talks about someone she likes or something good that they've done? Or I don't think so. I don't think she has. That's why I don't watch it. It's got to be just a can full of negativity. Well, anyways, if you were wondering what happened there with the slap between the Macrons, that is what happened, according to the new book Brigitte Macron is releasing. Also, I wanted to tell you about what's going on in New York, if I could. You might have heard before, Mamdani was begging for money not too long ago. He did end up getting a little bit of money from Albany, New York's mayor. I don't know if you guys remember that press conference they had. It was a joint conference. Well, Mamdani has since said that it wasn't enough money. So, of course, the New York Times is reporting that Governor Hochul, Kathy Hochul, pledges another $4 billion for the New York City bailout. Apparently, she's already sent him $4 billion. This came out just on Tuesday, and they're saying they're going to help plug some of the budget gaps, bringing the pledge up to, yes, $8 billion over 2 years. So, of course, you've got Kathy Hochul, the governor. She said, "From day one, I have been committed to ensuring New York City succeeds because a strong and stable city means an even stronger New York State." She says, "Today we are fulfilling the promise to make free universal child care a reality, making significant investments in education, public safety, and infrastructure, while providing the city resources they need to continue and fund critical services for New Yorkers." So basically, and you could probably read between the lines there. I don't need to read it for you, but it sounds like they will do whatever it takes, as far as they, as much as they can, to make sure that Mamdani is successful. I think when all is said and done, and I think he's going to continue just blowing through this money. I think he has no concept of how this all works. But I think they're trying to bail him out because they see the numbers, right? They've got New Yorkers leaving in droves. And I think if he doesn't deliver, at least to those that voted for him, I mean, they could be out the door as well. And I think she's trying to stop the bleeding. Again, if you want to read that, the New York Times, Center Square, they've got the story. But she's sending another $4 billion to New York City. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, if you saw her name in headlines, excuse me, yesterday, is because the CIA has just raided her office. I do have some sound here for you if you want to take a listen.
Tulsi Gabbard's office. Agents hauled out dozens of boxes, files on the JFK assassination and MKUltra, the CIA mind control operation, which she was in the process of declassifying. Today's whistleblower said it during his deposition, and Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna confirmed it moments ago.
The reason why this is troubling is, A, there was an executive order that the president had directed the full declassification of JFK, but then also to the MKUltra files. The CIA famously has said that, all documents were released and other documents had been destroyed. So these are allegedly those documents that apparently never existed.
Can the CIA overrule the president?
No. The CIA cannot overrule the president. The CIA cannot even overrule the director of national intelligence. In 1975, the Church Committee, which became the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, specifically ordered DCI William Colby to release all of the MK Ultra files. He famously went back to CIA headquarters and ordered that all of the files be destroyed. 85% of them were destroyed. He was held in contempt of Congress, and then CIA employees lined the halls and contributed cash to pay for the fine that he was ordered to pay. We only know what we know about MKUltra because of the 15% of the files that weren't destroyed. These are among those 15% of the files. They are mandated to be declassified. The American people have a right to know what is in these files. And the CIA can't raid offices, least of all the offices of the Director of National Intelligence. It's just real life isn't supposed to work this way. This right. is crazy.
This is something out of a movie, but the CIA was experimenting with LSD on yes. willing and unwilling participants during the Cold War. For intelligence operations and to exploit people, and it didn't go well a lot of the time. And they threw it all in a wastebasket, right? Like, it never really worked. Is that why they don't want anybody to know about it?
I think they don't want people to know any more than what we know about, for example, dosing innocent citizens of San Francisco, California, or a small village in France and putting LSD in the yeast at the only bakery in the village just to see if everybody in the village would go nuts, which they did, of course, or coming up with a program in San Francisco to hire prostitutes to dose Johns and see if they would cough up their innermost secrets. Ridiculous.
All right. Today we call those honeypots. Right? That's what we call it today. All right. I just wanted to put that on your radar. The CIA is being accused of snatching these files, whether it's JFK, MK Ultra, from Tulsi Gabbard's team. So there was a whole raid there. And Anna Paulina Luna, she has been posting about it all night long. Laura Loomer and so many others. And, of course, they are very disgusted and shocked that the CIA would do such a thing. They're saying that they took back about 40 boxes of the JFK files. Now, these files were supposed to be declassified and then released to the public, if you recall. And apparently, those specific files have yet to be declassified and released. So the CIA, according to reports, then raided her office and took those boxes back. All right. You can read that pretty much anywhere. Fox News has a story. The New York Post has a story. I think almost everyone, ABC, has a story. But it's, you know what? I will say it's not making a ton of headlines. But you know what? I guess we could come up with a conspiracy theory for that, too. Right. All right. All right. When we get back, I did kind of want to mention, as I mentioned earlier in the show, there are a couple of Baltimore City councilmen that I think have ulterior motives when it comes to how they operate at Baltimore City Hall. And I just want to kind of fill you in on that. Real quick, in case you haven't heard, I have found my favorite new hangout spot. It is the Social Kitchen at Yorktown Social off of Cranbrook Road. It's a casual, contemporary, and trendy space with vibrant, beautifully designed surroundings just made for mingling. And yesterday, I did post another video. I've had the chance to eat there, so you'll see that in the video I have on social media. I'm telling you, the tapas-style small plates are just out of this world. Pineapple shrimp ceviche, short rib egg rolls, and, of course, the crab cake balls. Whether you're grabbing a cocktail or heading back to the private bourbon bar, this place has it all under one roof. Okay, so don't be surprised if you see myself and Olivia there. Go ahead and bring your friends and family and experience it for yourself. Go to yorktownsocial.com to see the full menu and hours open. Yorktown Social could be your next new favorite hangout.
Have you been injured in a car accident? Don't let the insurance companies push you around. I'm the Ouch Guy, and I fight for hardworking Baltimore families. You won't see me backing down. So while you focus on getting better, let me handle the rest. Call 877-OUCH-911 for the best attorney experience. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
Tune in to Safe Retirement Solutions with Paresh Shah and Shamik Shah every Thursday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. for retirement planning and financial talk. Right here on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, Trump gets a hero's welcome in China. And Operation Sledgehammer about to begin in Iran.
Bang, soon.
give you all of the developments and new comedy from Jim Goss at noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, don't forget, tomorrow we'll be joined by our friend, Scott. I mean, you know what? I'll go ahead and say he is a lieutenant colonel in the Naval Academy, and he has the pleasure, Scott Willens has the pleasure of singing the national anthem at the Preakness. So he'll join us tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about the Preakness, obviously, right? It's this weekend, even though it's happening in Laurel. But what a big deal that is, singing the national anthem at the Preakness. Huge deal. And he was just singing the national anthem at the event, the meet and greet that Bernie Flowers, CD3 candidate, had just last week. And so I see Scott all the time. You know what? He sung the national anthem with when Rob Carson was in town for the November event. Remember that? Oh, what was the name of the event? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. Rob Carson, if you're listening, tell me the name of the event, because now I don't remember. Oh, my goodness. And I was there. He sung the national anthem at that event. And remember Barbara showed up, and she had on, like, the Trump drum suit. Oh, my goodness. That was such a great event. Anyways, I just wanted to just point out, because I mentioned this earlier today, you know, the two guys that are trying to roll back what the voters decided in Baltimore City, 72% of the voters decided for term limits for Baltimore City Council members. Well, Councilman Mark Fisher and Councilman Ryan Dorsey, they introduced a bill basically saying they wanted to override what the voters decided. It was a ballot measure. And they believe that there should not be any limits to the terms of Baltimore City Councilmen. I guess they're very comfy in their seats, so they don't want to leave them. I also noted here, you know, Johnny Olszewski, he just proposed term limits on the Supreme Court justices. So he would consider this idea dangerous, because that is what he said, quote, for SCOTUS. But luckily, this, like I said, this proposal didn't make it out of committee. But I just wanted to just go back a bit. Remember, you know, you had Councilman Ryan Dorsey. He was asked to refund a donation that was made by a drug treatment center. And that happened in 2020. It was of $42,000. And everybody thought, wow, that is really shady. And he was advocating for all these drug treatment centers across the entire city. And he kept saying there's no evidence that the drug treatment centers bring down a neighborhood, right? But everybody, of course, they were saying that's not true. It does change a neighborhood. Well, he also was the same Ryan Dorsey, the same councilman that proposed the zoning bill. And you had people fight back against it on city council. And they were, so basically he wanted zoning to change in a way where they could put housing anywhere, right? And Mark Fisher, of course, the other councilman, supported this. And so you had James Torrance, some other councilmen. They were like, well, wait a minute. You're not going to be putting affordable housing all over the place. Like, what are you talking about? So they were able to fight back against that. But I just wanted to point out to you, maybe you have a chance to take a look at it. But, you know, they're both part of the bike mafia. We're now getting more bike lanes, right? Mayor Scott said that's going to be expanded. The way they operate, I just don't feel as though it's in the best interest of the people. The things that they advocate for, I would say go as far as going against what the people want. And I just hope voters are paying attention to that. That's all I wanted to say. Those two councilmen they're on my radar for sure. All right, tomorrow we'll talk to Scott. Preakness this weekend, lots going on. Brian, the producer, as always, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Equity research analyst positions offered by Brown Investment Advisory and Trust Company in Baltimore, Maryland. Perform thorough, bottom-up, fundamental analysis of a company's business model and strategy, as well as its financial position to assess the quality of the franchise, its business advantages, and the potential of the investment to create shareholder value. We are offering a salary of $170,000 to $250,000 per year, commensurate with experience and location. Does not include bonus or long-term incentive eligibility, if applicable. Brown Advisory offers a comprehensive and competitive benefits package that includes medical, dental, and vision coverage, along with wellness, financial, and fitness-related programs. Employees also have access to family support benefits, insurance options, paid parental leave, and a 401k plan with employer matching. Additional perks such as telemedicine, pet insurance, and employee assistance programs further support overall well-being. Send resumes to recruiting at brownadvisory.com. Reference job ID 927-7385.
This is
the right choice for Maryland.